Friday on the Kevin Amin Show. That means Ralph is here with the Movie Beat in minutes. And next hour, how about the Week in Rage with Adam Carolla? Robert Pattinson back in the news. Listen to this quote. He, of course, the star of the Twilight movies. I always think there must be more. I get angry because I think I'm missing out. I haven't been able to do my music for ages. I can't concentrate on two things at once. I don't even listen to music when I'm working on a movie. Rob Pattinson joins us here in the studio on the Kevin Amin Show. Rob, is this true that once again your only friend, the acoustic guitar, is tearing you apart?
Normally I can multitask in other facets of my life, but when it comes to music, it just overwhelms me.
Let me ask you a question,
though. Anything else.
When you make movies, isn't there a tremendous amount of downtime, and couldn't you play and or listen to music during all of that downtime?
No.
You can't?
No, I wouldn't be able to show back up on set. If I start writing one song, I get so immersed in it.
I see.
I can't do anything else because it's my only friend.
It is your only friend, yeah. You're 23, and it seems like you spend a lot of time complaining. That's kind of been our thing.
You know, my only real response to that is F you.
Well, you said your recent quote was that you're holed up in a hotel room, and you're with your only friend, your guitar.
That's true. I have my guitar with me here today. I came from my hotel room where I'm staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Don't give the room.
Room 636.
Why would you do that? You're trying to stay out of the
public
eye. I
don't want people to visit me, though. It's a burden. It's a burden to be Rob Pattinson. Don't visit me, 636 Beverly Hills Hotel.
Okay, then don't give out your room number if you don't want people to come visit. Is it true that you can solve problems through the power of your music? That's really when things become clear to you and you can help others.
It's very true. I don't really have the ability to relate to other people's problems.
Right.
In my everyday life, but through music, I'm somehow therapeutic, I find.
I see. So your music helps people heal.
That's right.
Would you be willing to give that a try? Could you help us with some of the issues that are going on in our lives since you're here with your guitar?
I'd love to.
Well, Rob Pattinson Sings Your Problems Away will be the name of this feature.
In fact, I have a little intro jingle for this.
Oh,
I just
so.
Told
Great.
You the name for the first time. How do you already have a jingle?
That's how good I am.
Okay.
Robert Pattinson sings your problems away.
Is that it?
I think so.
Okay. You think so?
We're expecting
No, it was
more.
Fully. Listen, it was fully formed. Don't get us wrong. That was great, but
I think it's like that Haiti Relief album. It's a living entity. Maybe it'll change as I go. I don't know.
Okay.
All right, I'd like to start, Rob Pattinson, since you have so much luck with the ladies and you've got the Kristen Stewart on a string.
Yeah.
Maybe you can help me with something that's going on in my life. Do you mind if I ask you my problem?
Sure.
My beloved bride, Donna, is constantly trying to get me to go take tango classes with her. She's in a tango class, and she loves it so much, and she says, I really want to be able to dance with my husband. Won't you please come? Of course, I can dance, but don't want it to dance, and it has caused some real friction. What's
please
your advice
dance.
To me, Rob
please
Pattinson?
Please do that, Bean. Oh, God, please.
You're a gawky 8-foot queer bait. Just grow a pair and tell your wife to shut the F up.
That's not much.
That's your advice? I'm not sure that helps the situation, but okay.
Take that
Kevin,
one to the bank.
You got anything going on that Rob can help you with?
Well, I don't know. I mean, do you solve all problems? I'm clearly losing my voice from yelling at Los Angeles Kings hockey games. It's gone. What do I do for that? Maybe you help me with that.
Stop letting men run roughshod over your throat area with cylindrical objects.
No, I was just yelling. I think
we have time for one more. Psycho Mike, have you met Rob Pattinson? Maybe he can help you with your many, many problems that you're experiencing these
days.
Hey,
dude. To be honest, I work out a lot, and I really like to watch what I eat because I'm concerned with how I look, but I still have a hard time with my body image. I was wondering if you could help me out with that. All right. You're gonna have to take your shirt off for me.
Oh no.
Wait.
Possibly in my hotel room.
You know, man,
what's this about?
Maybe
wait.
With some oil and poppers.
I'm sorry, you say poppers?
Oil and poppers.
Oh, this is going to be a hit.
Oil and poppers. Come to my hotel room with your oil and poppers one more time. Oil and poppers. Oh. Oil and poppers. Good God, no. Oil and poppers. Muscular man I've never met before.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Rob Pattinson Solves Your Problems. Well done.
Rob Pattinson sings your problems away.
So it hasn't evolved yet?
It hasn't really evolved yet.
We got a black president and pot is still illegal. God damn! How scared are they of weed? They let a black guy be president before they let weed be legal. I thought it was going to be the exact opposite. I thought weed would be legal, everybody get high and just say, let's elect a black guy. See, people give pot a bad name, man. And it's because for some people, it's not the best thing in the world. All right, people like, yo, bro, built my brother's life. My brother was fine, then he started smoking weed. What about guys like him? Oh, you mean losers? Oh, yeah, let's make it illegal. By the way, let's make hammers illegal, too. Because if you don't build a house with them, you can't hit yourself in the It's always funny to me when dudes get kicked in the balls. That's it, because it's not my balls. I watched this one documentary where they taught chimpanzees the value of money. They gave them these coins, and they taught the chimps that if they give the coins back, they'd give them fruit. You know what the first thing the chimps did was? They gave the coins to the female chimps, and they f***ed them.
Yeah! Talking Monkeys in Space Comedy Central premiere is Saturday night at 10. Joe Rogan, the man behind the mic, joins
a lot of beeps. What's happening? Good morning.
How are you, Joe?
I'm wonderful. I'm here. I'm with you
I'm
guys.
I'm very disappointed in you, Mr. Rogan. I got to be honest. First of all, I have an office pool that you're the next Unabomber. I'm totally convinced that you are the guy of all the people I know who's going to go off the grid and end up blowing stuff up.
I did that for 4 months when I moved back to civilization.
So I really thought it was great when you moved away to Colorado to live in the mountains and hunt your own food. I thought, oh, I'm so going to win this office pool because he's clearly on the way. And then I started seeing pictures of you and seeing on the TV with the big bushy, like grizzly out of his beard. And I thought, he's totally heading Unabomber land. I can't wait. Then you clean up and you move back to civilization. You shave, and you look like a regular human again. I'm just thinking, oh, he was so close.
I was close. Well, you know what happened? My wife got pregnant again, so we have another baby coming.
She
and that's
did.
Why we.
Nice.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we moved back to California. It was also she didn't like it up there.
Yeah.
I messed up, and I tried to move her right into the woods. You know, I should have went like move into a mountain town. You know, like
right.
Boulder,
like I did,
in the
by
city.
The way.
Yeah,
I
like
moved
you
to
did.
A tiny island with just a few thousand people without even a stoplight. Yet you can take a boat and in 20 minutes you're in downtown Seattle, which is a big city. So you get the best of both worlds. You could be mountain man, but she can still go to Nordstrom. That's how it works for
That's
me.
That's pretty sweet. Do you have high speed internet?
Yeah.
You have everything?
Yeah, I got it all. Right.
Yeah, his mind is going again.
I don't like that whole boat thing, though, because I don't like the tsunami thing. I watched a whole documentary about the whole northwest part of the United States, about how many times it's been smashed by tsunamis over the last few thousand years, but people have completely forgotten.
Did you completely forget me?
Seashells 1,000 miles inshore. You know,
this is what I love about Joe. This is one of the best things about Joe, okay? Look, a lot of people listening worry about natural disasters. There are people, you know, who listen to the Kevin Bean Show across the country who've got flood worries, they've got earthquake worries, they got fire worries in the summer. Joe is the only guy who sits around going, you know what hasn't happened in 600,000 years and we're due.
Well, that's volcano. That's the caldera in Yellowstone. That's the $600,000 question. Every $600,000 to $800,000 years, it blows up and kills everything on the continent. And the last time that happened was 600,000 years. And they more than 2,000 earthquakes since January in Yellowstone. It's a giant volcano that's 600 kilometers wide. And when it blows,
Whoa.
Yeah.
Why did you move back?
It's called
back?
A caldera. I had to. I'm married now. I have babies. I have this life. I'm like a regular civilian.
And he wasn't living in Yellowstone.
I was close. I had mountain lions, bears in my backyard. Mountain lion ate my dog.
Last time Joe was in, he was giving us, for reals, telling us the type of jiu-jitsu moves he could apply to a mountain lion
That's
if it
true.
Ever came
well,
down to it.
How do you fight him? You know, you got to get him on his back to freak him out. And I figured the bottom line is if you can take the pain of them biting you, they only weigh about $150. You know, $150, I'll get you on
but
your back.
But they're strong.
Yeah, they're strong, but the whole thing is their actual physical weight. I mean, what are they pushing right. around if they're strong?
That's what I always thought about pit bulls. You know, because every once in a while you're in a bad neighborhood here in L.A., and there's a, you know, some random, you know, pit bull that's just running around, and you see it, and you know, if you think
there might be a chance I have to fight this because it's you or him in the alley.
It's usually not humans, though. Pit bulls very rarely are into humans. Usually they're dog aggressive and animal aggressive. The only time they're into people is when someone's been treating them terrible. Someone's like trained them to do that.
Well, if they're an orphan pit bull in Compton, well, they've probably been treated pretty poorly.
The whole way they've been bred is to only attack people. I raised a pit bull that I got that was a fighting dog that somebody had released and left it on the streets, and then they picked it up, and a friend of mine picked it up and started feeding her, and then I brought her in. But she was super friendly to people. Loved people. Hated dogs, but loved people.
So when you took her for a walk, it was
dangerous.
It was scary.
Yeah, it was dangerous. Like, I would always worry about my dog getting out of the yard and attacking things.
Sure.
But they're not bred to ever be human aggressive, because if they are human aggressive, they put them down. Because the whole thing with dog fighting is they got to be able to separate them. They come in when they're fighting, and they got to be able to pull them apart, and they don't want them turning on the people. Because if you, like, take two German Shepherds and you get in the mix, and you try to, dog will turn on you and bite you. But pit bulls don't really do that.
I think you need to wrestle a mountain lion. Actually,
I don't think
opening,
so.
The opening card on the UFC 111.
The
why not?
Is
this
claws,
weekend.
The claws are the problem. What you have to do is make sure you're wearing a big, thick winter coat, and you gotta get your arm
around
his mouth.
Your neck.
You gotta do something about that mouth. Stop that mouth. Get something in the mouth, and then get him on his back, and then freak him out. Because the mountain lions will run away with you. That was one of the craziest things about where I lived. There was these big signs. If you are attacked by a mountain lion, fight back. If you are attacked by a bear, play dead. Like, there was like whoa. Like, you have to worry about different strategies to deal with different monsters in my neighborhood. Like, that was real stuff.
Good
but
times.
It sounds perfect for you. That sounds like how you want to live is every minute not knowing whether it's going to be your last. Hey, let me ask one more question before the break, and we come back and talk more about what's going on with our friend Joe Rogan with the comedy special and UFC 111. A lot of people have been – people always look for patterns, Joe. You know this. People hate randomness.
Yes.
They always look for patterns in the world. Mm. And there have been some people lately who have been seeing all these natural disasters. They see the Chile earthquake. They see the Haiti earthquake. They see the tsunami, you know, and everything. And they start to think that it's ramping up, like we're getting more of these than ever before. Is there anything to that? Or in your mind, do you agree with me that it's just random and sometimes there's going to be more and sometimes there's going to be less? Doesn't necessarily mean we're heading toward 2012.
Well, to state conclusively one way or the other is pretty silly, because we just don't have enough data. You know, I remember when the whole Al Gore movie came out, everybody was terrified that the next hurricane season was going to be disastrous and kill everyone in Florida. And meanwhile, it was one of the mildest ones ever. I don't think we can predict it. I think that, you know, if you look at, like, the whole history of this earth, there's been gigantic disasters all over the place, but no one knows when they're coming. You know, you never know when an earthquake's going to cause the next tsunami, or a meteor is going to, you know, slam into the earth that we didn't spot coming. And that, those happen all the time. I mean, you know, if you really pay attention to, you know, like, science logs and, you know, read some of the websites that track asteroids, like, it happens all the time. Big, giant civilization crushers fly between Earth in the moon, and they just miss us. Just, I mean, if you, in terms of, like, in terms of, you know, the distance between us and like Jupiter, like, that's nothing. But between Earth and the moon, it's 260,000 miles, and whoosh, something flies by that would just wipe out the entire city of LA just instantly.
That so you would say, are we likely or not likely to be alive to see Talking Monkeys in Space this weekend?
Hopefully we'll be here.
No guarantees.
It's safe to say one thing. Joe Rogan is the only guy who gets baked out of his gourd and goes to an asteroid tracker.
Yeah, I have. If you look at, there's one label, one area of my, I have like a collection of DVDs that's just doom. It's all doom. It's awesome. All earthquakes, volcanoes, monsters.
This is the guy who's going to be a dad for a second time now.
Well, it's all
it's
girls.
Be fun
I have
for your
them.
Girls.
Joe Rogan is here. We're taking your calls for him. If you'd like to weigh in at 1-800-520-1067, we'll return with Joe right after this on the Kevin and Beach.
Tonight, viva la música y summer nights. Además, todos sus espectáculos favoritos, incluso Blue Horizons, nuestro
We're still on the air nationwide, guys, so please, if you guys could hold your chatter and just
it's
work on that behind the scenes.
Man.
What I'm saying is we're still on the air nationwide, so we should continue, is my point. Can nobody hear me either? Can nobody hear me?
Oh, hello? We are?
Yeah, that's all right. We'll work this out with all the people in the studio and take a quick break and return with more with our friend Joe Rogan right after this on the Kevin and Bean
Show.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, it's funny. We log thousands and thousands and thousands of hours every year on the air, and we never go off the air except when Joe Rogan is here. And I think there may be a conspiracy theory somewhere. Hey, Joe, we're going to go to some calls here in a moment at 1-800-520-1067, but I have to ask for your take on a topic we discussed last hour. There are a lot of people in this country who say, don't fill out your census form because the government is going to use that information too, and then fill in the blank. Take my guns away, have me deported,
round me up and put me
in an internment camp, round up the Indians because they're a bit of trouble. What any reason you have in your crazy conspiracy world to not fill out the census form? Or are you cool with the government getting that information?
I don't care how many people there are. You don't know, control the world, stupid. There's 6 billion of us. You know, stop pretending this stupid little census is going to change anything. You know, I mean, the great mass of humanity is completely out of control at this point. But I don't think that the government is, you know, everybody acts like the government is like one evil entity that, you know, communicates with itself. You know, there's no way the census could be ever used. I mean, there's too many things going on they're trying to control. Without a doubt, the government tries to do something to control behavior, but that's just so that they can make money. I mean, that's really what it's all about. And, you know, the idea that there's like this gigantic global conspiracy to try to eliminate 80% of the population, and, you know, that's a lot of it is just people are just... People are really freaking out about the reality of life, the reality that this is completely temporary. And we all plan for the future, but, you know, you start getting gray hairs and you start, like, not being able to read small print. You're like, oh, whoa, I'm dying, like, slowly. Like, that's what's going on in my life right now. I'm starting to, like, read things on my phone and I gotta, like, squint and turn my head sideways. I'm like, oh, okay, stuff's starting to fail. And so instead you want to think about the government, you know, you want to start thinking about, you know, oh, you know, 911, man, those buildings fell at free fall speed, and, you know, dedicating your whole life to try to prove they weren't really planes that hit the Pentagon and all that stuff.
It's about control too. It's somehow trying to have control.
Distractions too.
That's right.
Yeah.
We enjoy distractions, you know.
So if you don't fill out the census, it's not going to be because you don't want to give the government what they want. It's going to be because you're lazy and you'd rather smoke it.
It's like this. No, it's not even that. I don't do that. I do that every day. I smoke pot for very specific reasons. I smoke pot before I write jokes, before I tell jokes, before I have sex, before I have food, before I do jujitsu. But I use it as a tool. I don't just say, hey man, I'm just gonna sit around and smoke pot. Like, I mean, it sounds crazy, but I really do have like a reason for when I do it.
Sure. All right, let's take some of our calls because time is a wasting. 1-800-520-106. I know we did.
Static.
Why don't we try? Let's try Patrick with a great question on line two. I don't know that I heard this follow up either. Patrick, hi, you're on the air with Joe Rogan. Go ahead.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
What's up, Patrick?
Hey, I just want to know about your isolation tape. Whatever happened with it? I know you were doing like a raffle, or you were trying to give it away.
Yeah, I gave it away to a dude in San Diego.
Really?
What happened was, if anybody doesn't know, I'm a big proponent of a thing called the sensory deprivation tank. And what it is, it's a tank that allows you to have psychedelic experiences without any drugs. And you climb into this tank, and the tank's filled with water, and the water's heated up to the same temperature as your skin, and there's 800 pounds of salt in the water, so you're really buoyant. You float. It's, like, really incredible. You just lie down, and you feel like you're weightless. And it's total darkness. You close the lid on this thing. You don't see anything. You don't hear anything because your ears are underwater. You don't feel anything because the water, being the same temperature as your skin, once you, like, relax with the fact that you're lying in water, you don't feel it anymore. You literally feel nothing. So you have no sensory input. And in the absence of sensory input, your brain becomes supercharged. It's really incredible. It's like, we don't realize that we're dealing with distractions all the time. Like when the guy came in to fix the thing. When we went off the air, we were all having a conversation. This dude came in and started talking, and all of a sudden we couldn't concentrate on what we were saying. Well, life is a giant distraction for your mind. You're constantly receiving sensory input. You're constantly receiving social cues. Even sitting in a chair, my ass is communicating with this chair. I'm getting senses. You know what I mean? When you take all that away, literally that environment doesn't exist anywhere in the world except in a sensory deprivation tank. And you find
it's
out.
It's like being back in the womb, right?
Yeah, similar, but, you know, you don't have to worry about your mom bumping into furniture, you know? It's
but let me ask you this, Joe. And by the way, the reason you got rid of your tank is because you got a new one.
Floatlab.com if you want to get one. There's a dude in Venice that's the master, this dude Craig.
Is there a place you can go and just try it out?
Yes, Float Lab in Venice. And this is a bunch of places. If you live in other parts of the country, if you
Google
where to float. You should have one, dude. You got some cheddar.
Really?
Yeah, put one in your basement. It's amazing.
I'm looking at that. That does sound pretty cool.
Actually do it.
I do it all the time. It's in my basement. I just go whenever I want.
Here's my question. You say your brain gets supercharged. Do you feel like there is a lasting effect from that?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. It accelerates your evolution as a human being. For sure, it lets you think about things in a much deeper sense.
Is there any panic that you might drown or something like that?
No.
my wife in it and make it look like an accident.
You can do anything if you're really clever
enough. One more quick question on isolation tanks. Now, you said that you feel like there's a brain magnifying powers to doing this.
Do you think there's you have all the resources of the brain.
Right. Now, do you think that living in a place like L.A. or New York City degrades your ability to, because it's nothing but distractions?
That's why I moved to the mountains. I moved to the mountains because I wanted sort of an organic sensory deprivation tank.
All right.
You know, I mean, I think it's one of those things that it was developed in the 50s. There's a guy named John Lilly who's this crazy psychedelic pioneer who used to take acid and talk to dolphins. He's a... like a pioneer of interspecies communication, like really learned a lot about dolphins from these experiences. I mean, there's things that you can bring back from psychedelic trips that are applicable and really do help your regular life. And to me, the most effective thing is the isolation tank, because you don't have to worry about your house catching on fire and you're too high to notice it. Like, it's like it's a normal, you know what I mean? It's like you take like DMT or you take, you know, psilocybin mushrooms. There's a very real biological thing that's happening to you that you cannot stop. And that's why people have bad trips, you know, because you're freaking out. You try to stop this, you know, weird, you know, literally dimension shattering experience. Well, the isolation tank, it's completely natural. It's you're allowing your brain to tune into Mother Gaia. Like, you're allowing your consciousness to tap into the river of information that the universe provides. It's very strange.
I definitely want to try that.
You should try it. You have to do it more than once, though. You have to. The thing about it is you got to get comfortable with the experience. It's like, you know, when Buddhist monks learn how to meditate, you don't just get really awesome at it and achieve a Zen state instantly. You know, it takes a long time to try to relax and get comfortable with this.
Because it sounds like taking a vacation. And the reason I say that is, like, I was in Mexico last week, okay? And just the act of not being in my house with my stuff, not having my dogs to look after, not having the chores and the things that I have to do every day, not being online, even those things, you feel the difference in your brain once you release all of that stuff. And it sounds like what you're talking about doing downstairs in your basement is that times 100.
Yeah, and I do it all the time. So it's like it's an amazing feeling to, like, let everything go in your mind and reevaluate your entire life. It's like you get it's like a seminar on your brain. But that seminar lasts for, like, the first half hour or so. And then, since I've been doing it for years and years and years, then things start getting very strange. Because the more you do it, then the more you have, like, hallucinations. Well, it's good for me. For some people, it would be very frightening because they don't want to have these sort of psychedelic trips.
I'm not going to like what I find in my head, I'll tell you that.
At least I thought she was dead after a corner of a pot brownie. So.
Yeah, I have a really bad reaction.
We've discussed that before about how eating pot is very dangerous.
All right, let me recap all the Joe Rogan in for before he goes, because as always, the time flies when Mr. Rogan is here, and I apologize we didn't have time to get to more calls. But Talking Monkeys in Space airs on Comedy Central this Saturday night. Please buy the DVD when it goes on sale next Tuesday with tons of extras. It looks awesome. UFC 111 is this Saturday night live from the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. Get that on pay-per-view and UFC.com. And Joe, I guess we'll see you in person next at April Fool's Nest, April 3rd at Gibson Amphitheater.
That's an awesome lineup that you guys have. And last year was so much fun. I can't
wait. So much fun. We're so excited. We're going to be giving away more tickets as we get closer to that event, because it is, of course, completely sold out. And we raised just hundreds of thousands of dollars for great local charities as a result of that show. JoeRogan.net is where you want to go. Joe has been doing so much great stuff.
Follow me on Twitter. I'm very insecure about my Twitter account. I'm so close to 100,000.
Yeah.
I'm like 500 away or something.
Joe, your blog has been great, too. You've been doing a lot of blogging. You've been doing the Ustream podcast and everything like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're really on GQ.com this week, too. I had to promote the video.
You're giving it back to the fans, man. That's real cool.
Well, it's fun stuff, and, you know, it's also a part of the creative process. Like, one of the best parts of the creative process is, you know, when you interact with people and you do, like, Ustream podcasts, stuff like that, you're covering more topics, like, more in-depth, and you're doing it in a different way than just sitting alone in your computer writing. You know,
JoeRogan.net is the site. Joe, we love you. We'll see you on April 3rd, man. Thanks for stopping by.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. That band, of course, Stone Temple Pilots, played the K-Rock Weenie Roast. And Dave the King of Mexico is not, he's not speedy.
Despite being Mexican?
He doesn't work at a fast rate. So he just put up a bunch of photos from the Weenie Roast.
About 20 minutes ago.
Just put up a gallery of photos. Sounds including.
By the way, his gallery of photos is essentially his day of stalking Haley from Paramore. That's what he did all day on Saturday. So those are the pictures that you're going to see, is how close he can get to the band.
7,000 pictures of Haley, as he says. It's a world famous K-Rock at 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We tell you all the time to go to kevinandbean.com, and one of the reasons is we put new stuff up there all day, every day. Pictures and audio and links to stories, the Internet Roundup and everything else, and the podcast from the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of reasons to go, particularly today, because we have a link to the original Village Voice story that came out last week about this chick who says she was fired by Citibank for being too hot, too distracting to her male colleagues. And this is a fascinating story because on the one hand, I look at her and I go, I couldn't get anything done if she were working in my office.
She is way hot.
She's way hot.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, I think, get over yourself. There are lots of attracted women who are able to keep jobs and not disrupt the workplace. Maybe it's something you're doing.
That's what I think. Because Bean's right. There are a lot of super hot girls, but they're not as disruptive. She's got to be disruptive.
She's working it a little bit.
Yeah. Here's part of the news story.
Citibank has no problem with women being sexy. 33-year-old Deborah Lee Lorenzana is suing the bank, though, saying her bosses banned her from wearing sexy outfits because she was too distracting in the workplace.
All right. So now they go to her and they say, what are the things that you're not allowed to wear?
Mm-hmm. They pulled me aside to tell me I cannot wear pencil skirts. I cannot wear turtlenecks.
I'm sorry, what?
I like turtles.
Did she say turtleneck?
Where's she from, Bean?
I'm like Columbia or someplace.
Oh, all right.
I cannot wear turtlenecks. I cannot wear business suits that were fitted.
Citibank did issue a statement saying, we believe this lawsuit is without merit. Citi is committed to fostering a culture of inclusion and providing a respectful environment in the workplace.
So then she went on the Today Show and they asked her, you know, why are you suing? What's the point of suing? Mm-hmm. She did get fired eventually from Citibank, right? So she says this.
Enough is enough. I've been through my whole entire life going through this type of harassment. And I have gone the other way where you stay quiet, you just leave, get a better job. And it continues to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's a point that you say, I don't want to go through this anymore. So now I try something different.
And that's suing.
Oh, she's so hot. She's so hot.
She is pretty hot.
She is. We've seen photos. She's
don't say
really
but. If
pretty.
I hear the word butt coming out of your mouth after she's so
and
hot.
And I think she's pushing the envelope.
Yeah, she's got to be trouble,
time.
Right? A, and B, let me just tell you this. There's not a lot of people out there getting new jobs and getting new jobs. You
and
should try getting
jobs, by the way.
You should try getting a new job when you're ugly.
Yes.
Much
that's
harder.
That's an excellent point. But here's the thing, and this is why I want people to go to kevinandbean.com. And then I think we're going to try to take some calls from people who have had similar problems where they have trouble with keeping a job, for instance, because they're too attractive. Because she can't be the only one if it's happening to her. But I also have never heard of it before. So I'm torn on this one. So call us if this has happened to you.
Or where people are told you need to dress differently.
But see, that's what's different about this story. And I've seen a lot of those stories where they say, look, you can't come to work wearing a tank top with no bra because
right.
that's clearly
of
inappropriate.
Course.
That's not what this woman is doing. She is wearing very nice, high-end business attire. It is form-flattering, though. I mean, there's no question she has a terrific figure, and it definitely shows that off. But she's not out there flaunting it with a bunch of low-cut stuff or a bunch of mini skirts or anything like that, or high heels with, you know, stockings and a little Catholic girl skirt.
But
she's not dressing like that.
If you saw her in the turtleneck.
That's true.
The turtleneck.
I cannot wear turtlenecks.
It is seriously like a second skin. Come on.
What I mean.
And women who are really busty tend not to wear those because it just... I mean, it's worse than having something cut down to your belly button.
You're
almost.
Too hot for work. That's what you found out. Remember, was it The Bachelor?
Yeah.
Remember her? This
oh,
is
it's happened to her whole life.
This is a clip from her.
Like, I'm such a sweet girl. Like, and I'm such a good catch. And like, people think, like, I'm surfacey or whatever. But I think when it comes down to it, just, like, the truth is that, like, yeah, you know, people are mean to me, you know, sometimes when because of the way I look, you know, and I mean it sounds like so stupid, but like people hate me because I'm beautiful, you know, like and that is sounds so horrible, you know, but like that is like a real thing, you know, and it's a curse as much as it is a blessing to be pretty. I mean, like, no matter what, like, there is a huge like prejudice and racist, and when it comes down to it, like,
yeah,
that's why,
all right,
you know, this didn't work out,
yeah,
you know, just because, like, if I would have just been a little uglier and a little less noticeable. You know, really sad.
All right, you don't have to be as hateable as her.
Oh.
I hate her so much because she's stupid and clueless. But my girlfriend, Deborah Lee, the too hot to work at Citibank chick, she's a delight.
Yeah, how do you know that?
You don't know that.
I like turtles.
All right, real quick.
Turtlenecks.
Let's take Mindy real quick.
I keep around just for that.
Let's take Mindy real quick. And you'd work a turtle
say
into every conversation.
Yes.
You could, right?
Hey, just say it.
We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you sympathize with Deborah Lee, if you have had problems because you are too attractive, too distracting to other people, it doesn't work out for you. You sometimes wish you were a little homelier. We want to hear from you. And I think that's why Mindy is calling on line one. Hi, Mindy. Thanks for hanging on the Kevin and Beach. What's going on?
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
Hey, yeah, actually, no, the reason why I was calling is because I understand what she's saying, especially, I mean, I haven't seen her pictures, but I would assume that she probably is really hot.
She's pretty hot, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, I'm not saying I'm the hottest girl, but I'm definitely, you know, more attractive.
Right.
But in my particular case, I have had that situation happen where, to be honest, a lot of it does have to do with what you wear. And I know that they're saying that she might dress appropriately, but there's different ways to dress appropriately where you still know you're looking pretty sexy for the day.
So right. did you used to sex it up when you worked because
well,
you knew that?
I think, well, okay, in my particular case, I'm a lighting designer, so I generally deal with a lot of engineers and men.
Right.
So I think that, for, you know, if I'm going on a certain business meeting, I might, you know, purposely wear something a little bit tighter even though it's appropriate.
Nice, good.
Okay.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
By the way, we applaud that, but go ahead.
But in my particular case, I did notice that there was a particular company that I worked for that were family-owned businesses, and, you know, they might be a little concerned about, you know, working with me on a particular project because they might have to go on a business trip alone with me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
oh, I see.
Once I got married, everything in my life kind of changed, to be honest. Like, because once they hear that you're married, and the, you know, you'll hear that you have a kid or anything, then all of a sudden they go, oh, okay.
So now you're,
so
not,
you're not a threat.
You're not threatening, right?
But you know
yeah,
what's...
Right. Even
you,
though,
you know
even
what's,
though I technically what, might be wearing the same outfits and look exactly the same, it's
right.
just that, you know, that they feel a little bit more comfortable about maybe going on a business trip.
I'd like to point out, we're not saying here, hey, hot chicks, stop dressing hot. We're not saying that. I want to make sure that that's
that.
Clear.
Right, which is why I was just kind of trying to back up her side. But not really. I don't think in any
I would like to back up her side. I'll tell you that.
All they have to point out is that she was wearing something that was too that they might find too attractive. Right.
Where, Mindy, let me ask your opinion. Woman, if you ever even take a breath, let me get a question here, Mindy. Deborah Lee, the woman who's too hot to work at Citibank, she said that the people that she works for want her to look like everyone else and gained 50 to 80 pounds so that she blends into the office.
Or how, you know, her breasts were like, you know, maybe showing a little
B9.
Bit lower. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's still talking. All right, Mindy, thanks very much. Great, great show. Okay.
Hey.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
Good point. Thanks, Mindy.
Okay, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. You're too hot for work, or...
I like turtles.
You like turtles. Either way, we'll take your calls when we get back on the Kevin and Bean.
I cannot wear pencil skirts. I cannot wear business suits. I cannot wear turtlenecks.
I love her so much. Deborah Lee Lorenzana is who we're talking about here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can go to kevinandbean.com right now and see the pictures and the video of the woman who claims she was fired because she's too good-looking. Here's what the New York Post said. The sexy single mom pointed out to her bosses that other female colleagues wore similar professional attire and that some dressed far more provocatively. But her supervisor shot back that those women didn't have to worry about turning them on as their general unattractiveness rendered moot their sartorial choices, unlike the plaintiff.
She told the Daily News, I can't help it that I have curves, and I'm not going to go eat and gain 50 or 100 pounds because my job wants me to be the same size as everyone else.
I not only support her, I demand that she start doing traffic on the Kevin and Bean Show next week.
She's hateable, dude. She's hateable.
I think so, too.
Let's talk to Claire, who's been there. She's on line 8. We're talking about being too hot to work. Trouble at work because of your attractiveness. Claire, thank you for hanging on. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thanks.
Good. Okay, so I was about 17, and I was working as a lifeguard at a pool, and I guess you could say I was kind of a late bloomer, and so the next winter, like going into my 18th birthday, I kind of developed and...
kept developing?
Developing, yes. And so the following summer, they basically told me that I could no longer work at that pool unless I wore one of those, like, rash guard tops and, like...
So you couldn't wear a bikini. You couldn't even wear a one-piece swimsuit?
Yeah, those are not flattering to begin with.
Right.
And it's not like those really show off your body. Like, the lifeguard suits are, I don't know, they're just gross. And, yeah, they wouldn't let me work there unless I wore...
Kids and families at the pool?
It's hard for us to make any kind of decision without photos. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean, Lisa?
Yeah, I do.
You're with me
I
on
totally
that.
I totally do.
Well,
I mean,
Claire, was the problem that too many people were faking drowning to get you to jump into the pool? Is that what's going on?
Yeah. I'm more mouth-to-mouth that summer than I ever did.
And that's got to be weird because it's not like you're doing anything wrong. It's not, I mean,
it's
really,
the uniform,
you're just dressing like everybody else dressed, but somehow you get singled out because your boobs are too big, right?
See, that's the thing that's different. It's not like I was wearing turtlenecks that were, right. You know.
You mean turtlenecks?
Yeah.
I can right. wear turtlenecks.
Turtlenecks. All right. Outstanding. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Tamara on line 4.
See, now, in her case, I would say, you know, totally understandable.
Yeah.
Not her fault at all.
Not her
right.
fault.
Right.
I agree.
Right. All right. Tamara.
Hi, Tamara. What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
I am very fortunate. I actually own my own business, so huh? I can lose my clients or I can take on clients. But in the beginning, I would lose clients. I would sit there in front of an auditor. I am a bookkeeper, mm-hmm. and I'd have an auditor look at me and wouldn't be able to concentrate on the numbers.
But isn't that good? Because then they don't audit you properly, and then you're a secret weapon for the company.
Exactly. But the problem is, once the company was having issues with not being able to get those auditors to stay in front of me or to take me seriously,
yeah.
I was go. But with other clients, I've actually had them actually say, there's just no way. They've called me up after meeting me saying, yeah, let's do this, let's start. And then I'll get a phone call 2 hours later saying, you know what? Really, I can't do it. I have a hard time concentrating, and I really don't think my wife would appreciate it.
That's the key. I was just going to ask. This has to be a thing where the dude says, you're hired. And then the wife says, oh, no, she's not. And then the dude goes back and goes, I can't.
Tamara, have you done anything to sort of play down your appearance?
Oh, yes. I've actually, this is interesting. I actually had a client who asked me, whatever you do, don't wear a skirt or a dress on Tuesdays when my wife is here.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I came in sweats, a ratty t-shirt,
yeah.
my hair slicked back, glasses on, and she still was like, uh-uh.
It's hard that's for hilarious. Us to know without photos.
No.
I'm just saying.
It's happening.
Oh, right.
Kevin
thank you very
pictures.
Much for the call. I got a beetle haircut and gained 40 pounds just so I wouldn't have the problem of being too attractive.
And you know what? People. It worked.
I don't blame either of those last two girls. I don't think that was their fault.
No, they seem okay.
They seem like they realize it's a problem, and then
they try not to,
accordingly.
Yeah, exactly.
And what a tiny, tiny problem compared to the people who are ugly and the problems that they have in the workforce. By the way,
that's
all
true.
Right, one more. I know we may not have time for Drew, but we have to talk to a guy who says he was so attracted that he had trouble keeping a job. Drew, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your story, liar?
Actually, I used to work at Hollister and Abercrombie as a stocker manager, and during the summer, they like to have male models in front of the stores, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Abercrombie is famous for that, right?
Look at the clothes. So, basically, you know, they approach me and say, hey, would you do this? I was, no problem. So, basically, I get put out front, and, you know, I get several pictures a day, you know, or so like that, and then it's just...
Oh, with the language.
Manager.
All right, they came up with some BS reason to fire you, yes.
But I was buddy with a manager, and he told me afterwards it was because the district manager said I was too much of a problem and people were focusing on me and not on the clothes.
But any way to get people's attention is good.
Abercrombie and Fitch hire only good-looking model-like guys.
And half the time, those big posters they have in the store, they're not wearing anything, hardly.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
Check, 1-2, 1-2, check, 1-2.
We're
check,
fine.
1-2, check, hello.
We're
hey,
on
sounds
lightning.
Great.
We're fine.
Already
everything's working already. We've been on for a while.
Check, 1-2, check, hello.
Come on.
Hello, hello, check, 1-2.
Your mic is fine.
Hey, here we go.
Okay.
Check, 1-2, hey.
Okay.
We've been
that's
on
enough.
For 4 hours.
I don't know what Lightning's problem is, but he's always got to double check the mic. Lightning is the guy who works very hard and does a phenomenal job on the flagship radio station of the Kevin and Bean Show in Los Angeles, and really does a great job with the website. But I think, Kevin, since he's been promoted to that new position where he like oversees all things digital, I think it's starting to go to his head a little bit, don't you?
He is getting power hungry.
And what? Based on what?
I think we have a problem. Yeah. I think we have a problem. Is it true?
Yes.
Mr. Lightning.
Yeah.
Is it true that you took people off of the website because they wouldn't blog enough?
Okay, well,
true or not? True or not?
First
yes
let
or
me
no.
Say something.
It's a yes or no.
I will
question.
Answer that yes or no.
Yes or no.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I rest my case.
Yeah. So, all right. Thanks for coming. All right. So, I was stolen from the building where we're at now, and I work out of the Death Star, right? Our corporate headquarters.
Right. 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 Okay.
And it's like me and Alex Rauch. We work together. We're like the Rebel Alliance over there, and we're doing everything we can to build the best possible website for you guys.
Right.
And we have Darth Vader looking over our shoulder. I wanted to be the boss. I'm not. We hired like two guys that are over me.
But you can tell that they're there because they're breathing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know he's looking over your shoulder.
Right. Right. And
see,
so,
Mike, because it was a Star Wars joke.
I got it.
Okay.
So they came in and they said, hey, what's up with Rick Savage and some of the other part timers? They're not blogging enough, or they're not blogging at all. And I said, look, I've reached out to these guys. I've stopped them in the hallways of the station. I've sent them numerous messages, phone calls to their house, and say, please, guys, please blog.
Not just, really part just, of their job, though.
I understand.
I got to be honest.
No. And it's not. And you know what? They don't get paid for it. So
right.
So it's not like I'm not upset at
you
them
can't
like
make
mad.
Them do it.
I cannot make them. So what happened is.
So you took them off the site?
No, check it out. No, they're not totally off the site. They're still in the jock lineup.
You did it?
No, listen to me.
Okay.
They're still in the jock lineup. You know that kind of like, it looks like the police line. They're still there. But under that section there, there's all the jocks, and it's automatic. Each of their pictures, right next to their picture, it's automatically populated by their most recent post. Okay. I have no control. It's automated, right? Well, when you don't post, it's your old one. So, like, a couple of our jocks hadn't posted in, like, months. And I said, please, just one. All it takes is one. Wouldn't do it.
Once every couple months.
No, no joke. So not even. And
sure,
I didn't want
too
to
tired to write a post.
I'm not in a position where I could, like, you know, when we first started this, I was writing your post, Gavin, you know, and just making fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So, right.
You came out gay for me?
Yes.
I appreciate that.
By the way, I got a lot of email about that. People really thought
so
it was true.
So
Whitey's got some numbers for you. You get together.
My wife's friends, who we've known for 10 years, said, I didn't know. I really.
Yeah, my mother said to me, I thought Kevin had a family.
Because I wouldn't post stuff, so Lightning went on as me and said that it came out as gay. And it caused quite a stir.
Yes. But Lightning, here's our thing, though. We're not living in the Soviet Union where politicians fall out of favor and you start digitally erasing them from all the photographs as if they don't exist in history anymore. And that's what it seems like. It seems like, hey, don't play by my rules. You don't get to play at all. I'm going to take my football and go home.
Hey, let's be clear. These are not my rules. These are the dark side.
Right.
These are not my rules. I'm happy to leave them. I would have changed the mechanism by which those little automated things are posted, but I couldn't do that. All right. So.
Well, you should learn how to do that.
Well, I wish I could. We had to build a template that other stations will use later. So I reached out to these guys. I'm like, I like you. I'm in the studio. We rap about, you know.
You took them off the site.
And
it shows how much you like them.
We did, but they're in draft.
Wow.
They're in draft, and I can put them right back up.
So
you're holding them. But they're hostage now.
They're hostage.
So the way to get the desired results is to hold a gun to somebody. That's how to get it to be creative and contribute, right?
No, I didn't want that, but I had asked them for months, literally, from the start of when we launched the new site.
Oh, he has, too.
So I bet, but I did.
He came to me 500 times.
Kevin seldomly blogs, and when he does, I have it up within 45 minutes of him sending it to me, and we make it nice. And
he still doesn't blog himself, by the way. He still sends it to Dave. He can put it up.
That's not true, by the way.
Retarded.
It's not true.
But Lisa's blogging now. And
I'm
everything.
Blogging
so
a little
I blog about once a month.
Yeah.
A month.
So I'm Lightning, a big issue in some spots.
That's for sure.
Listen, I really like those guys, and it is nothing personal, but I had no joke.
But it's your way or the highway. That's what we're
learning. It's not my way. Guys, I'm telling you, and it blows ass at the Death Star.
Okay, so if that guy is Darth Vader, then who are you?
I'm the Rebel
Alliance.
No, I'm like
Luke
Skywalker over there, dude.
Oh.
No,
are you the Emperor?
No, again, I'm the good side of the Force.
Leia.
I'm over there, but I get beaten down just the way that you guys get beaten up by Mr. Weatherby every once in a while,
right.
You know? Or the censors come down on you. It's like, no, we got to have good blog posts, and this has to be. They're going in after I make changes. Like, I'll call Nicole or someone who does, like, the night show or whatever,
right.
and I'll say, hey, can I add a cool photo? Can I do this to beef this up? Or, like, hey, I have an old video that will go. And she's
right,
like,
which is a great idea.
Yeah, she's like, rad, do it, go for it.
Yeah.
And so it's really collaborative. But they'll come in afterwards and then change the title. Well, you know, in Tucson, this wouldn't make sense. So we're going to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can't do that. I have the confidence of the DJs
I will
to
tell
make
you
changes.
If that happens, no one's going to do anything.
I, I know, and that's already happened. You know, it happened. We Kat, right after you guys. Yeah. You know, we made a change, and she was upset and didn't blog for a while.
Well, congratulations to you, though. I got to tell you, my latest blog was about the Detroit Red Wings and how they're terrorists. And I asked Lightning to get a picture and to Photoshop Osama bin Laden's face into one of the players of the Detroit Red Wings. And that picture is phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
And awesome. I loved it.
You can follow blogs from almost everyone on The Kevin and Bean Show at kevinandbean.com, by the way. As long as we continue to march in lockstep, I guess you'll still be able to see our blogs.
Dude,
but the minute we look
like
to the side, man, all of a sudden he pushes us out of the truck.
What's the time limit? Because it has been about 4 days since I've written something. Am I on the verge of being eliminated?
I bleed The Kevin and Bean Show.
Am I on the verge of being eliminated? Answer the question.
Yes.
All right.
So let's get into the head of Sean White. Sean has one trick that no one else on the planet is doing. It's the double McTwist 1260. Sean's moves right now are so much higher than the other riders. This is unbelievable. Here it comes. Is he going to throw it down his first run?
You know, I wanted something to be memorable. I wanted to do this trick that I'd been trying for so long.
All eyes to this hit. Oh, and there it is.
I didn't come all the way out here to hold back anything.
And that is what the fans wanted to see. Sean White double gold. Boy, does he deliver.
It was amazing. I can't even describe it.
Look at the chicks that Sean White is pulling as he shows up at the Kevin and Bean Show today. That's an unbelievable harem you're traveling with, Sean. What's the deal? Dude.
You know.
You know,
wild times.
Just don't ask you for their names, right? That's what we're dealing with here. Well, Sean, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. First of all, on behalf of a grateful nation, congratulations.
Thank you.
I don't know. Like, I don't know you, but the impression that I got, Sean, is that there was never any doubt in your mind that you were going to come back with gold. That was pretty much a foregone conclusion that you were going to win that thing, right?
Is that extra pressure, though? Because anything else kind of would have been looked at as you kind of faltering.
Oh, for sure.
That seems rough.
You're standing up there and I'm like, all right, this day I'd been thinking about and dreaming about and picturing in my mind was, you know, 10 minutes away. I mean, I'm actually having to drop in at this point and deliver and I remember getting a little nervous, but it's not nervousness. It's like, it's that mixed with like excitement and anxiousness. I mean, you just want to get it over with. The only comfort I had is knowing that it was all going to be over within an hour. And
either way.
I had nothing I could do about it.
Right.
But it was great, man. I knew everybody wanted me to win, even like the Canadian team. You know, you're running around Canada and they're pretty, you know, patriotic. And, and they're like, I'm Canadian, but I still want you to win. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just used it as a way to motivate myself to actually do it.
And how many weeks before that was the Winter X Games when you tried to eat the half pipe?
Yeah, that blue dye looked so tasty, and I was like, I think that was about 2 weeks.
2 weeks later.
Yeah, or just under that.
Now, to go back to that moment, you hit your face on the edge of the half pipe. Now, for me, I'm out.
We'll take the rest of the day off at least, right?
Olympics are coming up in 2 weeks. Peace out, everyone. Have a good time.
Yeah.
You went right back.
I don't know. It's one of those things you can't let it build in your head because I took the smash and I think it was something that I made the mistake and I knew exactly what I did wrong and I was just frustrated and mad at myself for being that relaxed during that trick. I didn't give it the proper attention, the commitment that I needed. And so I ran back to the top because I didn't want to develop some you know, weird.
A block in my head
or a fear of that trick. So instantly ran to the top, did it again, waited, and I'm sitting there for like a little over an hour watching this thing just replay and replay.
They kept showing
replay.
It to you, right? Because I saw them showing it.
And then they replayed my reaction to the replay.
Yep, I saw that.
And I'm sitting there like, gosh, can you guys just give me a sec? I got to do this trick in about 5 minutes. But yeah, it was one of those things where I just felt like if I would have given up at that point, I might as well just give up on the rest of the season.
Did your helmet say hell no when you went back up?
I was just
so
surprised.
Because your helmet did not want any part of your head.
It was in a hurry to get the hell out of there.
It was exploded off your head.
That was my first thought as I was like, what? I swear I had a helmet on. You know what I mean? I was like, wow, I'm like exposed to the elements. I just remember sitting there like, it's cold out. What's going on? And I remember. You know, right there, and I felt my jaw felt like it was pushed all the way out to the right side of my face, and when I ran to the top, and
you're gonna have to talk
delivered.
Like this for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Is that your first year?
And then that night, I had to eat steak, and I'm like sitting there and just agony.
Can somebody put this in a blender, please?
Yeah. Wow.
But look, for all the hype and all the hoopla around the X Games, the Olympics has to be 100 times that, though, just in terms of the coverage and the media and the people and the other countries represented. I mean, how do you stay focused in an Olympic situation? I mean, I know you looked forward to it, but there's so many distractions up there for 2 weeks.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he put it in words that I thought were pretty interesting in a way, and he was saying that it, you know, when you deal with the pressure and you deal with everybody watching and the cameras everywhere and everything and you know, all of that pressure, his saying was, you know, it's not about surviving the storm. It's learning to dance in the rain. It's like learning to use that fear and all the people watching and use it to benefit yourself. And
but, you know what? That destroys a lot of people. A lot of people get distracted. They can't. The pressure becomes too much. There are a lot of people, you know, in the NBA, they take a last second shot, and you can kind of see, yeah, they're taking it and they have to, but they sure don't want to be there. And then there are other players like Kobe Bryant or other people who want the ball, and they're good with missing, but they don't much.
Well, that's why my coach was at the top, and I'd already won the medal, and he's sitting there, and he knows me, and he knows the fact that I sometimes don't land runs when I don't have to land it.
Right.
And, you know, where's the motivation coming from? Where's the excitement and all that to push me through the run? And,
now we're back to the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so after the first run, for those of you who don't know, Sean already had won the gold medal. Didn't even have to go again.
Yeah, I got what's called a victory lap.
But have you done the double McTwist 1260, which is all anybody wanted to see from him, basically, honestly. So then you did it.
I knew I had to do it just because I'd talked about it so much, and I'd worked and worked and worked on this trick. I just felt like I would be not only, you know, depriving them, but myself of this amazing trick. And so I went for it, even though I kind of landed flat on my hip before that. My arm's still purple. I smashed my elbow on my knee when I landed it because I was just full willing it to land. I mean, I didn't have enough speed.
It didn't look like
I took off a little funny. I'm like, I'm going to make this.
I've never seen somebody's mind actually just force it to happen.
Yeah, it was force of will, absolutely.
Even though that's gravity and everything else, it seemed like it was working against you at that particular moment.
Yeah, I just remember riding away just like, you know.
Of course.
Everything, all that excitement and all the feelings you have that's just like locked away in your chest just explodes. And yeah, I was excited, man. I was running all over the place hugging people. And
that had to be the happiest moment of your professional career, certainly.
It was definitely one of them. I mean, and it's so crazy because everybody wants to try to describe the last time I won the medal to this time, and it's so different. I mean,
right?
I remember feeling like I just made it. I'm like crying. My whole family's there, and this time was more of a, you know, like a cementing feeling. Like I just like delivered on something that I had promised, and I, you know, felt like any question of where I came from, and maybe if I shouldn't have you know, I'm here to stay. Kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's been the last.
You're for
Olympics
real. It wasn't
years,
a fluke,
and I wanted to deliver, and I just felt great.
We need to take a break. Unfortunately, Sean White is in the studio with us.
We have so many questions for Sean.
Gold medal. I would like to talk about what the announcers were saying so much, and I'm sure you didn't hear it because you know you were there. But the difference between your run 4 years ago and your run this time was just astronomical, a huge, crazy difference. What you did to win the gold wouldn't have even medaled you this time.
Yeah.
That's odd to me. I mean, that kind of progression.
You wouldn't even made finals at that
rate. Wouldn't even made finals. All right, so we'll take a quick break. Sean White is here. We'll be right back on the Kevin.
The longer Sean White sits here and tells us stories of what his life is like, the worse I feel about mine, I'll tell you. Turn that song. Oh, yeah, I'm in Italy, and I'm in a helicopter, and I'm on a boat, and I'm on a horse. It just doesn't matter, whatever this guy's.
The equestrian dream.
Now, Sean, when we left, we were talking about last Olympics to this Olympics and what a great difference it was.
Mm-hmm.
The one that you won gold with 4 years ago, you wouldn't have even gotten in the finals this year.
Yeah, I mean, the progression's just been overwhelming. I mean, not even from that point till like the year after, it was basically last season I won the X Games with a similar run to the Olympics. The only thing that was different is I added a rodeo on my first hit, which is a backflip.
Oh, so last year to this year has been all of that change?
Yeah, that's why it's so wild and everybody's kind of freaking out, is that we added these new tricks, and I was able to go to Silverton, Colorado and basically have like a half pipe out there where I created like five new tricks.
The foam pit.
Yeah, and which is cool is I mean, I've always been a guy that took tricks that were already out there and just did them a little different, a little better, and this time I actually invented tricks. So I went from doing they're called double corks. It's two flips in one hit while spinning 1080, which is basically just degrees of rotation.
You don't have to explain this to us.
Yeah, yeah, you know. It's like second listeners may not. It's matrix. So, yeah, I mean, I'm doing three of these tricks in one run now, so it's pretty
okay, so
aggressive.
You have the double McTwist 1260. The next Winter X Games happen soon. The next Winter Olympics are 4 years from now.
Yes.
So the double McTwist 1260...
Little kids will be doing that by the time the next Olympics
comes
around.
You're like 6-year-olds. You're going to have to somehow find a way.
Because there's only that. You only have so much time in the air. There is a limit to how much you can do coming down.
I'm just fearing that there's some fierce little, like, 15-year-old that's like, I can do that.
Right. And then can. And
I'm like,
oh, come on.
I'm like, no, you can't. No, you can't.
Well, you're clearly washed up at 23, right, Sean?
I mean, I saw a guy at the airport, and he's like, it's all downhill, man. I'm like, really?
You know what's interesting? I'm so glad we have you here, Sean. Of course, we're always grateful for your time when you stop by the Kevin Bean Show. But the conversation we were just having with you about the difference and how fast your sport is evolving. We had Sal Mascella, your friend Sal Mascella, on the day after your run. And he was practically still in tears from watching you the night before. And he told us something that I thought was so interesting. And you may be too young to have experienced this personally. But he said it wasn't that long ago where there were a lot of ski resorts in this country where you weren't allowed to snowboard. Mm-hmm. Where it was still the outlaw sport where they don't want that element in their town. And now look at it. Now you're one of the biggest athletes in the world on the biggest stage in the world. And you're performing at such an unbelievable athletic attitude. It's just it's amazing how fast everything has changed in your sport. So exciting.
Yeah, well, that's why it's so... I mean, emotional to win the Olympics because everything my family went through and all my friends and everybody that supported me. I mean, you see the long journey we're on. I mean, my parents got me into the sport, and I mean, there was no X Games, there was no Olympics, there was barely any money, and you know, it's grown to this. So it's just an amazing thing to come from there and to be at this point now where I'm like, you know, I can't cruise down the street.
Right. Now, speaking of the younger crowd, the thing that happened with Scotty Lego and the pictures, and then everybody said he got kicked out, that really angered me.
Yeah.
I really was upset about that. I was like, look, if you want youth and you want people to come out and watch the Olympics that didn't used to, you know, snowboarders are cool if they want to hang out. If his event is done and he wants to party, great. More power to him. Well, what was that all about? Do you know much about it from your side?
A little bit. I mean,
it's crazy.
Think about this one. I mean, I'm so excited getting my medal and all this stuff. I was on the podium and I did like a little air guitar because I can actually play the anthem on guitar.
Right.
And I remember sitting there and then I got some like heat for it. Like he wasn't respecting the podium and
I didn't even
the
see
flag
that
raising and this and that. And you're like, wow, like people just kind of, I think, put a microscope on stuff you do. And my dad said the funniest thing. He's like, all the cool people in the world are just, they're dead. You know what I mean? He's like, people analyze things so much now. I mean, in a way, I understand what happened with Scotty, you know what I mean? He was just enjoying himself, and I just felt bad because there was nobody there kind of watching for him. You know what
I'm
saying?
It's a shame that somebody has to be there watching for him, is what I'm saying.
Totally.
If I win a gold medal and my Olympic time is done, that's the least of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, really, that was nothing compared to what you would think they would want people just to let off
steam. It was funny because I was in Europe and they're like asking me about it. What do you think of this Scotty Lego? And I'm like, well, you know, pictures can be deceiving. Maybe it was really windy in there. And, she dropped a loony on the ground and picked it up. And, you know,
John, what about that image? And especially a guy like you who's so recognizable. Let's face it, you can't hide that hair. Is it tough for you 24/7 to know that no matter what you do, people are gonna report on it? In some case, misinterpret it.
Yeah. I mean, man, that lunch yesterday. Apparently, like I lifted up my shirt to like scratch my chest or something like this, and like somebody snapped a photo of it and it's on the internet now.
So, oh my god,
apparently it's getting to that point.
Wait,
for me,
was it good or bad? Did they say
and that's what
we would have expected.
I was like,
a six pack.
I was like, how was the abage? Like, was I was it glistening? I mean, because now I'm gonna have to keels it up every morning before I
that's right,
just in case, you know. But it's cool, man. I love it. I think it's amazing. Like, what a powerful place to be in not only the world but in my sport, and to be gosh, recognized on such a massive level. It's just humbling.
We need to take another break, unfortunately.
No, we're talking to Sean White. We're talking to Sean White right now.
I know, but when we get back, I want to talk about what's happened since the Olympics. There's a report every day where I look at you and I go, nope, he is not ringing the bell for the stock exchange. He's not at a Milan fashion show. That's crazy. You've had just a ridiculous
I've been on the
schedule,
man.
He's been cloned is what he's been. There's 10 of them running around doing all sorts of crazy stuff. All right. One more segment with our friend Sean White, Olympic gold medalist, USA, USA. We'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Two of America's finest athletes on today's Kevin and Bean Show, Sean White, Olympic gold medals in studio now. Kevin Smith joins us in about 20 minutes. Look, very much looking forward to that. All right, we just have a few more minutes with Sean. We have so many questions we want to ask. First of all, what kind of car are you driving these days, Sean?
You know what? I have a little pad up here in L.A., and I felt like I'd be one of those guys if I brought up the Lamborghini. So I was going to go get an old classic Mercedes or something.
Mm-hmm.
Old school, sweet. Something vintage. All right.
How many cars you got?
Just two.
Wow.
But one's a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Well, what is a Lamborghini,
I started winning them, you know, and they just started showing up, so I started donating them. Yeah, there's a thing called Fresh Start that is down in
that's cool.
You know, San Diego area, and you know they pick up kids from the hospital and take them to their homes and stuff. And
that's cool. In a Lamborghini.
Yes. Surprisingly, they fit the kids in the.
Let me see if I can clarify. Lamborghinis just started showing up.
Yeah. Well, you know how it is,
no,
Kevin.
No.
Come on.
That doesn't
happen for me.
Sean started to tell us a story off the air that I just think is. I mean, look, you're living Sean White's life, and you can't believe the stuff that happens to you. So you win the gold medal in Vancouver. You stay up all night because who can sleep after that? You go right to the Today Show. That's when your days started getting crazy. What happened after that, Sean?
Oh, man. I mean, I woke up and I woke up to the news that I got the cover of Rolling Stone again.
Which was awesome.
Wow. And then as I'm cruising out, they're like, oh, and this just in, here's a speech from Obama that just mentioned you and your half pipe in Colorado. And then, I mean, it just kept going and going. I got the gold medal, and then I get this phone call that apparently I was requested to come to Chicago and be on the Oprah show.
By the way, that's not a request.
Sent a plane over.
When Oprah says she wants you.
That's
you
what
go.
I didn't know.
It's an order.
I was
it's an order.
You know, my whole group over here that you mentioned earlier, they're like, oh, no, you're going. I was like, but I had, like, some buddies that were going to come to dinner tonight. And it's over.
She's not looking for an answer. She's sending a plane.
But she was awesome. She was awesome.
And then where did you go from there? Because
I went to New York and did a bunch of wild stuff out there. I shot the cover and closed down the stock exchange.
I saw you at the stock exchange with a hammer in your hand.
Plenty of things. Larry King Live. I mean, it just went on and on.
Did Larry King have any idea who you were?
Oh, yeah. He was great.
Really?
Yeah.
We make fun of Larry all the time because he seems to not know anyone anymore. He's so out
of it. He thought he was booking Betty White, right?
He calls you for
We go way back.
Yeah, he thought he was Betty White. Right. That's what he thought.
How do you end up in Europe? How do you go from there to there? Now all of a sudden you're in Germany and Italy.
Well,
What's that deal?
Much riding over there. We figured it'd be cool to go over and actually see the fans that are over there and do some media that's kind of off the grid. And we went over to first stop was in London, and we did a bunch of stuff there from London to Milan. And we're in Milan during Fashion Week.
That's the picture I saw.
So it got a little weird. I'm like front row at this fashion show, and it's like the future.
Yeah,
and at that point, I was like, "What is happening?" It was straight out of a movie, and the runway started. It was this crazy techno, and like these like 8 foot
women in Zoolander all of a sudden
around in like chainmail and stuff.
But see, all the stuff that Sean is talking about is not the high points of his life. Okay, this is all stuff that's happened in the last week.
Oh,
everything
yeah,
that
right.
he's just described. It's like, been seven days in the life of Sean White.
It's like, I just won the medal like 10 days ago. Like, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen. And then from there, we went and Red Bull picked us up in this plane to go to Salzburg, Austria. And our pilot's this wild Red Bull pilot. And we didn't really know that.
No.
So he's like skimming
that.
The mountain like, this is the hideout of the German army, and this is the, you know, we're landing the plane, and then from there to Germany, and then back to here for 2 days.
Well, you don't want your
Japan.
Pilot on Red Bull, by
oh
the way.
God.
Huh?
You don't want your pilot on too much Red Bull.
I don't think he's on Red Bull, but those guys are the best pilots in the world. They
but I'm so excited it's all over with. I mean, I really am at a point now where I get to you know, go to the summer. I can't wait to skateboard. It's like,
are you going to do that again?
Yeah, well, I mean,
next games?
Everything's going towards next summer. Like, I'm thinking about where I want to skate, what contests I want to do. This is really cool. I just wanted to mention because I'm so excited about it. But we've been working on a skateboard video game for like 3 years, and I'm allowed to talk about it, like literally. And it's going to be unreal. It's one of those things where
it's the next one because you were here a year ago or something.
Yeah. With the game, the first game,
the snowboarding game. Yes.
Yeah, the snowboarding game, and this one is just, it's unbelievable. I'm just so proud of it because it's so unlike Tony's Game, the first one that came out, and in its own special way, it's just amazing. So I'm pumped.
When does that? When can we get that?
Hopefully, apparently August.
He's looking the other room.
I think.
Okay, that's good news. All right, let me ask you one September. Serious question, Sean. He has no idea.
July.
We'll let you know. Let me ask you one serious question, because you're better than we are, and we get all that. if I've done everything that you've done, I'm done for life. I don't have any desire to go out and do anything else. How do you stay motivated to continue to want to compete at your level rather than just sit back and let the money and chicks roll in?
Hey, how come both can't happen?
He's got a point.
I mean, what's going to drive you?
I was like, that makes so much sense.
No, don't talk about competing.
I like that.
No, what drives you to continue at the pace and the level that you're at?
I don't know. I mean, excuse me. I don't know. I always just get to a certain point where I feel bored. I feel like I need to do this. I feel like I need to go out there and do stuff. And what's crazy is everybody wants to understand how I do it and how I get motivated to do it. But it's something that's not fun. It's not fun. It's fulfilling. It's like you go out there and you slam after slam. I mean, elbows bruised. I can feel it. It's like sore. I mean,
you're not just goofing around and everything's great about it.
It's like a math problem. You sit there throwing solutions at it, and then you finally get the answer. And it's you know, you receive a good feeling, a warm feeling from that. And it's just something that I do that makes me feel good. So that's what's the difference between, you know, my snowboarding and then just snowboarding for fun. I mean, fun, I just go cruise around the mountain.
Right.
I spray my dad with snow. Right. You know, it's just fun. It's funny.
How long has it been since you've competed in skateboarding?
Just one season.
It's only one. Okay.
And I was pretty upset about that. I chipped a bone in my ankle and wasn't able to compete. And I was pretty gung-ho about winning the Olympics. So I decided not risk it and roll an ankle on a skateboard. So I'm really, like, dying to get back on the board.
What's your next month going to be like? Have you already had it all planned out, or now it slows down and you have a little time to yourself?
Well, right when I think it slows down, it gets, you know, picked up again. But so far, I do some more talk shows. I mean, I'm going on Leno tonight and the Lopez show.
Well, you're funnier than both of those guys, so that's
going to be awesome.
Don't say that. He can't comment on that.
I'm not asking him to. I'm just saying Sean White and Jay Leno on the same TV. Sean White's the funny one. That's all I'm saying.
Leno's reading and listening. Oh, God. No, but I'm excited about it. And then I go from here to Japan because we got this massive.
Well, of course you do. Of course you got to go to Japan.
How long do you have in the books? I mean, like, do you have a month? You have 2 months? You have the rest of the year?
Well, usually the Burton U.S. Open, which I'm pretty sure is around March, something like that.
He's looking over there because
they know the schedule.
They don't seem to be giving you any answers.
They're no help. They're just miming through the window. But that usually marks the end of my snow season. So at that point, once I start skateboarding, that's like my downtime. Like I skateboard to really get away from everything. It's kind of my release from things. And so I'll skateboard all summer and hang out and do trips, and that'll really be my downtime. And, you know, it's good. I go surfing. I go hang out. And that's really, you know, because snowboarding, you have to travel to the mountains. You have to find the snow. And the skate's just on the street.
Or anywhere you want.
Right where the ramp's at. Yeah.
Well, when your skateboarding game comes out, come back in.
Yeah.
If you would, whether it's August or September or November, whenever it is. Whenever we figure out the game coming out, we would love to have you back in.
Here we go. Holiday is saying.
Holiday, meaning Christmas.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
all right.
Yes.
Well, Sean, it's awesome to have you come back, dude. We really, first of all, congratulations again, as we said when you sat down. We're so proud of you. And we always enjoy having you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for the time, dude. Have a great spring and summer.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Kevin, I know you were on vacation when we talked about this last week, but have you been to KevinandBean.com? Have you seen the pictures of my navel that I put up?
I don't like to see pictures of medical oddities.
Okay.
It's pretty gross.
This close to the human centipede. That's how creepy it's getting. I mean, it really is just this.
Man.
It's bursting out like an alien. It's crawling all over my stomach.
You're a medical oddity. Your life is medical oddity. It seems like you have something like this every other year.
Well, we did talk on the air a little bit about what turns out to be a herniated belly button. And I heard from a bunch of listeners who have been through this. I don't know how common it is, but a lot of people listening had experience with it. And we thought, why not get an actual professional medical opinion? And, of course, I'm too cheap to go to a doctor. Sure. So we talk him into coming on our show so we can get medical advice for free. Dr. Mo joins us, chief of surgery at the Little Company of Mary in Long Beach, California. Hey, Dr. Mo, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. How are you all doing?
We're good. Thank you. Some of us better than others.
always a pleasure to talk to you. And I was very surprised to get an email from you, Doc, that said that not only have you dealt with this at work, have you performed this surgery, but you've been a victim of the belly button explosion yourself.
It's not a victim. This is actually super common. I do one or two of these a week.
One or two a
really?
Week?
Yeah. That many, huh?
Oh, it's super common.
What happens to the belly button that it explodes? I haven't seen the picture, but
okay.
I don't really want to be honest.
Yeah, and I understand. That's right. Okay. A hernia is just a hole in a muscle. And your belly button is the second most common place to get hernias. The most common is in the groin. Okay. So what sort of happens is that... When especially men, when they're born, the testicles form by the kidneys, but they got to move out to be at a different temperature. And when they pop through that muscle, they leave two areas of potential weakness.
Okay.
And so when you get older, that's where you can get hernias. Well, the second most common place is the belly button because that's where the knot's tied. So technically, there's no muscle right there.
Okay.
Now, you know how...
By the way, there's no muscle anywhere on my body.
Right.
So I'm surprised I didn't get a hernia all over.
Bean could have a body hernia.
Oh, what a concept. Anyway, here's the thing. As you get older, for whatever reason, that area can get weak with exertion, with bad luck,
with not exertion for too much time.
But the interesting thing, though, is he talked about a cough. That weren't you sick and you had a bad cough?
Well, I have pneumonia right now, which I think is unrelated to the herniated belly button. I'm basically falling apart.
No, it's absolutely unrelated. The thing, though, is I ask a lot of my patients if they're smokers or they have problems with chronic coughs, because heavy lifters, people with chronic coughs, people that have problems with stuff like constipation, they put extra pressure on their abdominal wall doing their daily activities.
So you can cough and your belly button will explode?
Actually, that's how I tore mine.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, doctor, that's a hell of a cough.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I've had symptoms of mine
right.
for years, okay? And it's now starting, and it's always
Wait,
been
what
tender.
Does that mean? Is it getting bigger?
It's getting bigger, it's getting redder, it's growing more, it's actually painful now, and that's why I'm now serious about going to get. I suspect with you being a doctor and an adult, you probably dealt with yours right away as soon as you developed any kind of problems, right?
No, because I'm an idiot.
Well, you too.
Listen,
huh?
We're idiots. You're the doctor.
But I'm also a patient. Doctors are horrible patients.
You're supposed
Here's
to
what happened. I actually and figured out I got a hernia when I, you know, my kid was in preschool and we brought home one of those toxic cooties from preschool. And I got sick and coughed and felt this horrible pain in my belly button. And 2 days later, I see a little lump and I'm like, oh crap, I got a hernia. Well,
you knew what it was instantly.
But I still blew it off because honestly, I can't take the time off to get it fixed. So I blew it off and
Good.
A year later, I'm building some furniture in my office, and I feel another rip, and now there's a lump. It's bigger, and it's not going back in, so I've incarcerated my own hernia.
Wow.
Right.
Now,
okay.
At some point, here's what I would do. Right. I would push it back in.
Right.
You can try, Kevin. It doesn't work.
Is right. it possible that it's actually a long-lost twin of beans just trying to come out?
No.
Not
the alien from the first Alien
Not
movie.
The alien, yeah, okay.
No, not right. an eyeball.
All right. Right.
So, doctor, how serious is the surgery?
The surgery isn't serious at all. I mean, I can fix it through an incision that's barely bigger than your belly button as it is. It takes about an hour. You go home. Yeah, I was back to work in 6 days.
Oh, but it does take that kind of recovery time, though, huh?
It's because whenever you put a stitch in your abdominal wall, you have no idea how much you actually use your abdominal wall for stuff like just getting out of bed, getting in a car, coughing, laughing, sneezing. So, yeah, for a day or two, it kind of hurts, and you sit at home and you put an ice pack on it and watch ESPN, and it's fine.
That's going to be very difficult for me to bring my level of activity down more than it already is.
Yeah, I understand.
How's being going
to
rest?
Do something in order to, yeah.
Now, is it the type of thing that once I go get that surgery done, I'm clear for life? I don't have to worry about it coming back?
Pretty much. There is a lifetime 10% kind of recurrence rate for hernias in general. But the reason is, like, if you have a piece of steak, you know, there's the meat, there's the bone, and there's the gristle
right.
that holds the meat
mm-hmm.
to the bone. People with hernias, gristle isn't exactly the best. There's something about our gristle that tends to get hernias. So you can't.
What an unpleasant conversation this is.
No, this is good.
It's getting worse by the second.
Sexy.
I'm sorry, but it's the best way I can try to describe
Hang on,
it.
Let me see if I can help.
No, it's not sexy at all.
Not
all right,
sexy. Okay.
Last question for you, Dr. Mo, and that is, let's say I'm really, really retarded. and don't go get it fixed. Then what happens?
Well, what could happen is what happened to me is it gets incarcerated, which, Kevin, that means you can't.
It gets put in jail?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's horrible. But then it hurts like a mother. Let me tell you.
So, and then somebody else makes it its bitch.
Yeah. Your body's sort of telling you, yeah, now it's time. Let's go. It's time to get it.
What if Bean wanted to do the surgery himself?
I'll give him a knife and a fork, and okay. I'll show him to a website, and he can probably do it himself.
There you go.
So I'm at the point now where I really should schedule this. I really should get this done because I don't want it to end up incarcerated like yours.
Yeah, it's right? If it's getting bigger, and what's happening is it's sort of tearing in the same way like a little run in the stocking kind of tears. It gets a little bigger. Uh-huh. That's what's happening there. So you got to get it fixed. And
really, okay.
You're going to do great. You'll be fine. It's awesome.
You know that feeling when you're super turned on? This is the opposite of that.
This
is the opposite of that in every way.
You know how worried I'd be if you actually got turned on?
Yeah, no, this is just troubling.
Dr. Mo, you are awesome, as always. Thank you for your free medical advice here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, happy to help.
Bean won't listen, but thank you for the advice. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 25 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Don't get me started. It kind of sounds like a sad dying elephant, but it's a vuvuzela. You can't watch a minute of the World Cup this time around without getting a headache.
It's like a 2-foot-long plastic horn, and you blow like a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't just happen when someone scores and there's a huge celebration. That they lay down a bed of that for all 90 minutes.
Well, there's so many people in the stadium, right? So even a very small percentage could keep that going the whole time.
And you know what's funny is you can completely ignore it until you hear it. Like, Alex, the producer, you know, our producer said, it's kind of like white noise. But once you hear it, then you go, okay, now I've heard it. Now it's
like
super annoying.
It's like the vein in Julia Roberts' head.
Right. When you didn't know about that, now it's all you can see.
Now I can't.
Here's a news piece on where they came from and FIFA trying to outlaw them before this World Cup.
No need to adjust your TVs or check for beads. Let me introduce you to the vuvuzela. It's a South African tradition, and fans blow them continuously at soccer matches from the start of the game to the very end. The vuvuzela came to the international attention during last year's 2009 FIFA Confederations Cup here in South Africa. However, the World Football Governing Body, FIFA, wanted to ban the use of them during this year's World Cup.
Now, I remember this, by the way. It was a huge outcry. No, you can't ban them. And they were like, no, it ruins the game. No way.
Because of concerns that hooligans could use the instrument as a weapon and that businesses could place advertisements on them. But the South African Football Association made a case that they were essential for an authentic South African football experience. And FIFA decided in July 2008 to drop the ban, allowing them for the Confederations Cup and the World Cup. So South Africa may not win this year's World Cup, but their fans will continue to be heard to the very end.
Their fans blow.
Yeah, see what you did?
Hey, I heard an organizer for the World Cup who was saying that it's a small minority of people who are protesting the vuvuzelas. Most people love it. And I find that so hard to believe.
Yeah, because it's a lie.
The BBC, by the way, who is carrying, obviously, the World Cup in Britain, is investigating. They're looking into a separate feed, different coverage on television and radio, where they have filtered out the sound of the vuvuzela because they're getting so many complaints.
Awesome.
That's how annoying it is for the home viewer.
Can I get that channel?
I don't think you can. But, you know, now that it's been on the world stage like this, the vuvuzela, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are buying them and falling in love with it. And it's going to be at all soccer matches from now on.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. I'm afraid so.
Oh, wow.
Let's call South Africa.
Okay.
I think we need
Who are we calling? Somebody who has something to do with the horn or no?
What? You looked that up in the Yellow Pages?
I don't know. I thought maybe
that has something to do with the horn.
I thought maybe we had a phone number on somebody who has, any kind of interaction with the actual World Cup. But just a random South African. Okay. Ooh, maybe it'll be Charlize Theron. If she answers, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to happen as well.
You don't know, man. If we're calling randomly,
his two options are somebody that has something to do with the horns. Or Charlize Theron.
Yes.
We're calling a bar, the Voodoo Lounge.
Perfect.
This is in Johannesburg, I think. I could try and talk about it.
Okay.
I think this probably may, this person who answers may be going to the cup and may be taking a horn, so we can at least take one out of the mix.
Right, exactly.
How do you feel like it's going so far?
Not as good
like
as
they
I hope.
Always do.
We haven't done Kevin Abid call international in a long time, and now maybe I'm remembering why, but...
Now, let's try the Cat's Pajamas. Let's try that one. Cat's Pajamas, restaurant
that
bar.
That is a
restaurant,
it's a bar. Okay.
Restaurant slash bar. Yeah, they're 9 hours ahead, right? So this would make sense. There should be people there.
Yeah.
I would so watch the channel where they had muted out the horns. So, I don't know. I could hear the announcers. And by the way, I think the players do, and I guess this is just like a very loud. I guess it's the same as at very loud NFL stadiums that players on the field can't hear calls. They can't communicate with one another because it's 132 decibels in the stadium. I guess that actually affects the play at this point.
Cats, good evening.
Hi, is this the Cat's Pajamas restaurant and bar?
Yes, it is.
Hi, we're calling from America about the World Cup. How are you today, ma'am?
I'm very well, thank you.
We have been watching with a great deal of interest the games that have been going on in your beautiful country, but we are being driven crazy by the vuvuzela. What's going on with the horn, and how can we stop it?
Why are you phoning out to ask me that?
We don't know anyone in South Africa, so frankly, we're just dialing randomly, but we figure you're there. You have more to do with it than we do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
you can't swear at us. Hey, we're on your side. We like South Africa.
She just said, for those of you, everyone, because we had to get on delay, I'm going to effing kill you. I didn't expect that.
Not at all.
But you didn't hang up on her, did you?
I did.
Oh, okay.
She said, I'm going to effing kill you.
That right, seems but extreme, sure right?
What's going on?
Oh, my God.
Now I think the horns are the least of our problem.
Who knew? This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we've been talking a lot about the Eclipse trailer because it just came out last week, was it, Ralph?
Yeah.
Eclipse?
Yeah. They had the 10-second trailer for the trailer.
Which I've never seen before.
I've never seen a trailer for a trailer either. And then they released the new trailer, which is only about a minute and a half. There will be longer trailers. But this one, everyone's just going out of their minds because this Twilight thing is just such a huge, huge part of people's lives. And it sucks. It's horrible. It's bad.
Why?
How dare you, Ralph?
What do you mean, how dare you?
The trailer looks awesome.
Trailer looks awesome?
Yeah.
Looks hideous.
You know, I'm Twihard fan number one. Here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, I know.
You think Cleo's a super fan. I'm a super fan.
I have no idea whether you were such a twitard. I have
absolutely,
no idea.
Absolutely.
Even
I know.
The girls in the other room that love the Twilight hate
I like Twilight. I don't think it's a good trailer.
You know what? It's because they thought it was kind of weak. But
yeah.
So I spent all weekend on the Twi blogs and the Twinet.
Sure.
I was searching.
Where is the
Twinet? I was on the Twi Underground.
Right.
And I found an extended trailer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it's like people. And it,
no, I mean the first one is good. Is awesome too. Here, play a little clip of the first one.
This is the original.
Yeah.
Isabella Swan, I promise to love you every moment forever.
Why are you so against me becoming like you?
I know the consequences of the choice you're making,
and I want you to pick me instead of him. You have to consider the idea that I might be better for her than you are. I'm gonna fight for you until your heart stops beating.
Oh,
so this
awesome.
Is basically the guy who turns into a dog and the vampire fighting over Bella, the girl.
Yeah.
In Kristen library. Stewart, and you could see why they'd want to fight over Kristen Stewart because she's just so hot.
Apparently, they're in a library and they're not allowed to make any noise.
And vivacious. Her personality's so huge. She's such a fun girl to be around.
And she really knows how to act.
Oh, yeah, they all do.
They act their ass off.
These are the actors of our next generation.
Absolutely.
In this film.
Are they acting like they're in a coma?
I don't know what you guys are listening to.
They're horrible. They're horrible actors.
They're awesome. Well, you know
I will protect you till the end of time.
I have a Kevin and Bean exclusive.
All right.
I found the theatrical trailer. This is the extended one. This is the one that they're actually going to air,
in
theaters.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
That's why they call it the theatrical trailer?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be in theaters?
That didn't make sense.
How many Ds is this trailer in?
How do you feel the setup is going? So far.
This is a negative D.
So we have the actual long-form trailer for the new Twilight movie, Eclipse. Is that what you're telling me?
No.
Oh.
I mean, yes. Yeah,
that's what we have. Okay, so if you're excited about the movie,
Well, then if you're excited about the trailer we just played, you're really going to be excited about this trailer.
Isabella Swan, this is the gay vampire Edward, and I promise to love you forever. As long as you don't get any uglier.
Hi, this is Bella. Why are you so against me becoming like you? I so don't care.
I know the consequences of the choice you're making, Bella. It means that I'll be stuck with you for decades and decades, and you're so goddamn ugly, and there's so many other hotter chicks out there that I could be banging. My skin turns into diamonds in the sunlight. Hi, this is the slightly less gayer guy in the movie, Jacob, Bella, and I want you to choose me forever, because, I truly don't know why. You're an ugly, ugly broad. I'm gonna have to rethink this. Hey, gay vampire Edward, this is the slightly less gayer guy in the movie, Jacob, the werewolf, that turns into a dog and isn't really a werewolf. You have to consider that I might be better for her than you. Oh God, Jacob, that's great news. See, I didn't want to be stuck with that dumb broad because she's so ugly. And I forgot, I'm gay. My skin's made of diamonds. Ow! Bella, this is Jacob. My shirt's off right now.
Right.
I'm the slightly less gay guy in the movie.
Right.
I will fight for you till your heart stops beating.
What a crappy line that is. So don't care.
Well, I'm gonna make your heart stop beating now. You ugly,
oh, no.
Ugly, ugly
I'm dying.
Chick.
Oh,
I can't
no.
be stuck
getting
with you
stabbed.
Die!
I'm dying.
Die, take this! Die!
Oh, okay, I'm dead. So don't care.
Wow. Wow, that's a very different film this time around.
Yeah.
You're right.
It takes a turn I was not expecting.
You couldn't have tried to sound a little bit feminine when you were doing the girl's voice?
I thought I did.
Little
no.
Bit? Just higher.
That was so don't care.
It was a real trailer, Ralph. I don't know what you're talking about. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 22 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Dude, seriously, what the f*** is up with Blind Melon? How did that crappy song make it back onto the playlist? It was a goddamn song way back in 1989 or whatever the f*** came out originally. It sucked then. It sucks now. Shannon Hoon is a dead, dirty f***ing hippie.
Dude,
and will
wow.
always be a dead, dirty f***ing hippie. We
right.
need to get that
okay.
off the radio
right.
now because it sucks.
So you enjoyed it and want to hear it again. Okay, your request has been counted. Thank you very much for the call, sir.
We'll play it again. Yeah, thank you. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have, we're going to talk about the Lost series finale coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Because I'm still... still don't have any idea what went on. Plus, Mary Lynn Ricegub.
Oh, cool.
From
yeah. 24.
They have the series finale tonight.
Yeah.
Now, I know that we were promising information about my car accident, but we actually gave that last week. We're actually going to do a feature right now called
Dang Tweet
Bean. It's a new feature that we have.
Come on.
Wait,
how
did we
are you
just
come at
fool
me like that?
It's a new feature called.
It says on the schedule Kevin's car accident.
It does.
Yeah, that
how
was
did
a,
that happen?
That was a gardener that ran into my car almost three times, Bean. Backed up,
wow.
hit my car, pulled forward, back up, hit my car. Pull forward, put it in reverse again, and I honked. I was like, hey, isn't there something in you that wants to know what's stopping your car going backwards?
Good time.
That was the story, but now it's...
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! Oh, how, this is how you come at a man first day back from vacation.
Come on. Bat.
While Bean is on vacation, he's still haunting us with his facts.
It's worse because he doesn't have this outlet. I think.
He doesn't,
I think
by the
he's
way,
just
talk to us so he tweets
over.
It.
Yes.
You guys won't believe this because you
Dr.
never let facts stand in the way of a good...
Remember.
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
That's just a mistake. Sorry.
You guys won't believe this because you don't like facts to stand in the way of your opinions.
Correct.
But I was on the computer very little during the vacation and tweeted very little. Maybe once or twice a day, tops.
Then how did you do such bad stuff if that's all you did? Once or twice a day, your average should have been higher.
Well, what are you talking about then? What are you talking about?
Tweet.
Well, we have a few of your tweets that we'd like to highlight.
Okay.
Sadness. Just realized my vacation is half over today. I don't miss work at all, except for talking to King of Mexico and Psycho Mike.
That's right. Tweet.
Why is that a bad? Is that a bad tweet? That was a shout out to my friends that I wasn't talking to, wasn't seeing much last week.
Right, but then for everyone else, they go, "Hey, he didn't miss us.
He just missed them.
Just That's King just and Psycho. You didn't say anything about Lisa, or Alex,
what
or."
The hell?
Ralph or me.
You come back and I say, friends. Oh, we missed you, Bean.
We're just saying it was a little rude. That's all.
It's a lot rude.
Here's another one.
Every couple of years, I rediscover what a brilliant singer Bing Crosby was.
Oh, my God. Okay, now.
If you're doing 1 to 2 tweets a day, how does that make it?
Because instead of getting up and doing this show, I get up and I'm able to listen to whatever I want in the morning. And one day I pulled out some of the Bing Crosby albums and had them going. And I just was really having a great time enjoying myself. I thought I'd share. Maybe there are other people out there who might also enjoy Bing Crosby.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bing! If any of my followers have a cuter pig than my Godzilla, I would like to see your photo, too.
This falls into the category of person who has to show you pictures of their kid slash animal.
Right.
I had a particularly
cute photo
of Godzilla
that day. And Bean is the most obnoxious person when it comes to photos of his animal.
If any of your pigs like Bing Crosby, let me know.
That's that tweet.
Bean!
There are people who enjoy seeing photos like that. And some of those people, that's why they follow me, is because they want to see the pet photos.
I'm serious. Does anyone know if one can have a sloth as a pet?
Oh, my God.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
Twitter needs to be taken away from you. That's what I'm saying.
But where else should I go for information?
Does anyone still remember the TV show Gunsmoke from caveman days? James Arness? He was Marshall Matt Dillon. He's still alive. Who knew?
Oh, my goodness.
You can't. Even you can't think anyone cares about that.
The show went on. He was an old man when the show went off the air in 1975. How is that dude still alive?
Right, but does anyone else care about that?
I don't know.
I do. The answer is no.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! In the first verse of Steve Miller's hit, Take the Money and Run, he rhymes do, tube, and loose.
Okay.
That's terrible songwriting. Come on.
But was that in a Steve Miller chat room? Or did that just come out of left field?
I heard it on the radio.
Let's discuss Take the Money and Run, fans.
No. In
the second verse of Take the Money and Run, he rhymes El Paso and Hassle. In the third, he rhymes Texas, Faxes, and Justice.
That's crappy songwriting. You guys are with me, right?
It is, and it's crappy tweeting as well.
Thanks for that tweet.
Welcome back, Miss Courtney Love, on 106.7 KROQ KROQ. It is 8:06. If you've never been able to see Hole in concert, you got your chance coming up on Saturday, June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. One of the great bands on the bill for this year's Weenie Roast, along with Sublime, with Rome, STP, Silver Sun Pickups, Devo, Paramore, Deftones, and so much more. Get all the details at krock.com or kevinandbean.com to buy your tickets later this week. Hey, Ralph, you're the movie guy. What happened to that? Remember that kid, Jon Favreau? He played Rocky Martin.
I remember him from Rudy.
I saw him in the Rocky Showtime movie, and then I saw him in Rudy, and never heard anything. He seemed like a talented young man. He just kind of fell off the face of the earth. What happened to that dude?
He had a horrible badminton accident where a shuttlecock was lodged, I believe, in his throat, and he could not cough it up.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. Producer Alex is giving me new information. Apparently, Jon Favreau is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin Beach. I guess we were wrong.
What?
Hello.
Hey, Jon. How are you, man?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jon. Congratulations, Mr. Favreau.
A shuttlecock in the throat.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little early. I'm not sure. I came in halfway on that conversation. What's going on?
If someone hits a badminton racket, you know, really hard, that can happen. Sometimes your mouth's open while you're playing.
Obviously. Oh, is that it? Yeah. Highfalutin comedy. It went over my head.
You forgot how highbrow this program was. John. That's the problem there.
I did. How are you guys doing?
Not as good as you.
Yeah. Yeah. You are the happiest little girl in the whole USA today, aren't you, John?
I'm you know what I'm happiest about? That I don't get to think about it. I have to go right into work today and get back to work. That's the true blessing.
What? Are you working on?
I'm working on Cowboys and Aliens. I'm doing with Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford. We're shooting this summer, so if you sit around and read everything and think about everything, it'll drive you nuts. I'm very grateful that the fans showed up. I was happy to go out with Downey over the weekend and check out the theaters, and it was really fun to see the audience's response. But the biggest blessing is always just being able to keep doing what you're doing, and that's what this weekend afforded me. I'm very, very grateful.
I understand that's the mature attitude, and I don't know why you would say that, but I would think as hard as you worked on Iron Man 2 for the last 2 years of your life, to finally have it out there and be received so well, it seems like somebody ought to give you a vacation. Like, there ought to be some time off to enjoy it.
One would think, but that's when I tend to be the most miserable. I really like my job. I really do.
You always had a vision of a franchise when you started with Iron Man, I think.
But after the first movie
was so great, I mean, even you, did you have any doubts that you're going to be able to make another one that would satisfy the fans because the first one just hit it out of the park so far?
Well, first we had to get the band back together. That was a whole thing that took a lot of months, you know, to work all that out. And that was an uncomfortable period because we were, you know, chomping at the bit to get started. But once we pulled it together, we were just having so much fun coming up with all the different ideas of what we could do that, you know, we had hoped that the fans would like it and that the audiences would receive it. But we didn't know, but we definitely were pleasing ourselves every step of the way.
With the huge box office, this is Jon Favreau on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about the $130 million-plus that it made over the weekend just domestically. A lot of people are pointing out, hey, imagine how much more it would have made if it had been in 3D. Was there ever any talk along the Iron Man 2 timeline that it might be a 3D movie?
Yeah, I mean, that was hitting, if you recall, you know, 3D takes a while to do. To do it right, you really have to shoot in 3D. That was never an option because 3D... Nobody even talked about 3D until Avatar, and then Alice in Wonderland and even Clash of the Titans started changing the business model. It would have meant turning the movie over early and post-converting, which doesn't look great, and would have probably led to an inferior film, though we would have collected more money per ticket at the box office. So it wasn't something I was comfortable with. It wasn't very realistic, but I do like 3D a lot. But if I were to do 3D, I would shoot in 3D.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. But as a filmmaker, though, you're intrigued by it, interested enough to think about doing a movie that way one day?
Oh, yeah. I've been testing the gear out because we're discussing whether or not we want to do it on the next film. I know Marvel's looking into it for their movies, but for me personally on Cowboys and Aliens, we're looking into what the gear could hold up to because we're shooting out in the desert, which has never been done before with this type of gear. But I love watching movies in 3D that are well done in 3D. I think it's very... It's very captivating.
For those who don't know, Cowboys and Aliens is also another great comic book property that John will be directing. Are you kind of the go-to guy now for comic book movies for these big adventure films, John?
I think there's definitely an appetite for comics, although I wouldn't put it in the same category as Iron Man.
Because Iron Man
is something where the comic book is where people know it from. Cowboys and Aliens was something that the comic book was written after the script was written, I believe.
Right.
So. It's not the same type of property, but I think graphic novels are really a cool way to find new properties because they're so visual, and it doesn't take a lot of imagination to see the potential in those stories.
I can't imagine Iron Man without Robert Downey Jr. As great as all the other elements are, including your participation, John, it seems like there's almost never been a character who's been better suited for an actor as this one is for him.
Yeah, I really think that my biggest contribution was putting him in the role. I think that was a moment of profound vision that I've been really enjoying the benefits and the fruits of for the last 4 years. And not just because of his talent, but he's just a tremendously gracious guy and a great friend. And
super.
We were through a big journey together because we both earned our stripes on this. And he got my back a lot. I got his back a lot, and we're both very proud of what we've been able to do.
Is the character on hold now, John, until the Avengers movie? Is that the plan, as far as you know?
No, he's not in Thor. He's not in Cap, which are the two movies for next summer. It'll be very interesting to see how the Marvel Universe branches off. And, you know, all of those movies are going to be taken into account for the Avengers in 2 years.
Right.
I'm not sure where the Avengers goes. It's not. You know, there's no shooting draft written yet. It's going to be a big undertaking for Marvel to actually incorporate what happened in Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, the Hulk.
Right.
All of that has to inform one unified vision in the Avengers, and it's a very exciting prospect, and certainly Tony Stark is not going to be involved in any of the movies until that one. So, so I would say, yes, you're right.
So, $133 million box office over the weekend. And I know, I think, in my opinion, people are way too focused on opening weekends. I know that it makes headlines and stuff, but a movie like yours is going to be in theaters all summer long and is going to continue to make money. But how does it work with something like that? I mean, do you have an expectation, a number at which you're disappointed if it only makes, or do they put a lot of pressure on you to promote it to the point where they can guarantee a certain number? Or what's the deal with that, John?
It's, you know, a lot of it is voodoo, really. There's no real math to bear out that. There's a million things that enter into that equation. You know, part of it's promotion. Part of it is whether it's 3D or IMAX. A big part of it, too, we opened up a week early overseas, and piracy is rampant. And so who knows how much that takes away, or the value of the dollar overseas, the value of foreign currencies. I don't really get caught up in all of that. It's like, is it really that different if you make, you know, literally $5 million more? Does that make you disappointed or not disappointed because you didn't cross another film? That's another thing. There's always the basis of comparison of other of other movies. And there was a lot of talk about, oh, are they going to beat Dark Knight? Dark Knight made like 158, which is astounding when you think about it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are people who do this for a living that get very hung up on who's number one. For me, my big thing is I don't want to bomb. I don't want to lose money. I don't want to disappoint people. I'm happy we did better than the last film.
Yeah.
And to me, that was my own private little, you know, high watermark. But I don't get caught up in that stuff, fortunately. I get more caught up in the creative side of things. I was very happy that we had a cinema score, which is when they poll people that come out of an A. And for people under 18, it was A+, which meant that the people who saw the movie liked it. And it had legs over the weekend. And you don't want to just open big and then disappoint people. The real satisfaction comes from having a lot of people see it multiple times. They enjoy it. They tell their friends. That means we did a good job.
And you get to work again. That's good news, too.
Sorry?
And you get to work again, which is good
news. And I get to work again, which is still this looming, you know, fear that comes from coming up as an actor when
exactly.
You don't know where your next gig is coming from.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it. The bottom line is make a good movie, and then the rest takes care of itself. John Favreau, congratulations on Iron Man 2, and a special thanks to you. I know how incredibly busy you are these days, but you always make time for a few minutes on The Kevin and Bean Show. We go back, you know, 15 years or
many years
at this point. So.
Many years. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for being in my corner. It means a lot to me.
You bet, man. Have a great day. Congratulations, John.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, minutes away from Anna Carolla this week in Rage, also the movie because it's Friday. Mr. Skin has something special for us for if you want to see naked moms and their naked daughters. That's coming up next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, got to talk about cheating. Very hot topic in the news these days. Thanks to Tiger Woods and thanks to Jesse James and now thanks to David Boreanaz. All these stories are coming out. And, Kevin, you've got a story about cheating gone wrong.
I do, yes. And Mike's trying to find my...
cheating gone right?
Yeah. Well, sometimes cheating goes right, but not all the time.
But we never hear about that, do we? Definition of it.
Like I was saying earlier, sometimes it's just chalked up. Yeah, you cheated, and it's bad, and it breaks up your relationship, perhaps. But sometimes it ends there. Sometimes you just move on, and there's no fallout from it, except for the fact that a relationship has busted up. Then sometimes it doesn't go like that, and it either goes public, or they come back and get some sort of horrendous revenge on you. Oftentimes, I mean, let's face it, if you cheated on a guy and then he came and burned your house down, that would be far beyond what you deserve, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But stories like that happen all the time.
All right, I don't know how to say this actress's name. She's a former NYPD Blue Star, and it's Garcelle Bouvier.
I know who you're talking about. I'm not sure I do either. But
something like that?
Something like that sounds right.
Apparently, she's married to a, quote, power CAA agent.
Oops.
And apparently she, in an email, which she sent to everyone at CAA,
mm-hmm.
She said the subject line with Tiger Woods, Jesse James, Mike Nylon, or Nylon, whatever his name is.
Who was her husband.
Right. What do they have in common? I found out today that my husband of almost 9 years has been having an affair of 5 years with some slut in Chicago. I am devastated and I have been duped. Our boys don't deserve this. So she wrote that to everyone at CAA.
Oh, wow.
Basically trying to smear his name in his professional life.
Yes.
Taking it out of the realm of a personal problem that affects their family.
Not realizing that he's an agent, and that is the best thing you can say about an agent. Right? Like, that really doesn't destroy an agent's life.
Probably
so
not.
A lot of people are going, well, I didn't think much of Mike, but he seems to be able to carry a lot on at one time.
That guy's got it going on. I need to be more like him.
But yeah, I don't think that's an insult to a Hollywood agent.
But you do wonder why some stuff like this doesn't happen more. There are a lot of times when you know, somebody cheats and then they make an apology and their wife is standing on the stage next to them.
Yeah. Politicians, it happens all the time.
Yes. And a lot of women get angry that that woman would stand up there because they think it's humiliating and she shouldn't be standing by her man at that moment after he did, you know, humiliated her publicly.
The story is when they don't stand there. That really is the rarity.
That's right.
That is the rarity.
Yeah. Like Tiger's wife.
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly. So so we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Either you were the cheater and somebody got revenge on you, whether it be the person you were cheating with or the person you were cheating on, you know, your wife or girlfriend. Or you were the cheatee and you got some kind of revenge taken on you. Maybe you were the other woman and the wife came after you. Who knows? I mean, this kind of stuff just gets ugly quick.
And by the way, it works in reverse, too, if you're the woman who is doing the cheating on the husband or boyfriend, too. We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. We got an email from a Kevin Amin listener in Sweden who was dating the girl that he lost his virginity to, and he could not have been more in love with her, and found out that she was cheating with one of his friends at the same time. So what he decided to do, and you tell me how this plays with you guys, is he found a huge dog.
No.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Saved up everything that dog had to leave in the yard the course of a week.
Okay.
And then smeared it all over every doorknob on the guy's house.
All right.
And then took the rest of it in a paper bag, lit it on fire, left it on the front porch.
I can support that.
I'm saying acceptable. That's acceptable.
And, by the way, did it while his who he thought was his girlfriend was in the house with who he thought was his friend, so that when the fire started getting bigger and bigger, they both had to come running out, her in
a
towel.
Nice.
And then he sat in his truck across the street watching the whole thing and laughing.
Took pictures.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So, there
nice.
You go.
That's a lot of handling poop for me. But
well, it is.
I tried to think of something where there were, poop was less involved. But, yeah, it does seem like it's odd that this stuff doesn't happen a little bit more often when there's such high-profile cheating going on.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know, in a situation like Tiger Woods, he pretty much had his hands full with a lot of hate from the public.
Right.
So that his wife didn't really have to shame him.
I'm pretty sure she came out with a golf club.
That supposedly
there
happened.
Was that.
She says no, but there was that.
Come on, you guys.
There was attacking the car with the golf club. Yeah. There was attacking him with the golf club. All allegations that she denies.
Sure.
But she certainly has the option. I mean, you know, maybe her sweet revenge will be divorce and $500 million, but she certainly would have the option if she really were a vengeful person to go on a full blitz media tour right now.
Sure.
And just run Tiger's name down and make it even worse for him than he has. But so far,
but in this particular case, by the way, golfers, just like agents, you know, they go, hey, we could get laid. We golf and we could get laid. Are you kidding? This is great.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Phones are lighting up. We've got room for your call, too, and we'll talk to you right after this on The Kevin and Bean. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday talking about cheater's revenge. I can't decide as we go to your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 if this is going to be fun, funny, or just unpleasant and depressing. I can't decide.
As usual, when we bring up a topic, we are not looking for the fresh wound.
Right.
We're not looking for if you're super emotional about it still. We can't be trusted with your emotions. You should know that by now. So it has to be stuff you're past. And the funnier, the better. I mean, that's always the rule.
Okay. Let's start with Jennifer, please. She is on line 6, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Again, the topic is perhaps you got cheated on and what you did for revenge. That's what we're looking for. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. Well, it wasn't actually what I did. It was what my friend did for me.
Oh, okay. They all stood up for you. Nice.
At the time the guy was living with me, he wasn't moving his stuff out. He worked half a mile from where we lived. My girlfriend came tried to take his stuff to auction on eBay, packed his stuff up, and then posted all down the neighborhood in neon pink signs that he had STDs, that he was a cheater.
Nice.
Everywhere.
So they put up, like, signs everywhere talking about him. Now, he was moving out because he had cheated on you?
He was in the process, but what he did was he moved his computer and his bed. That's about it. And left everything else in my apartment.
I see.
How about that? So what was his reaction when he started seeing signs on the neighborhood talking about that he was a cheater with an STD?
Oh, he was pissed. He came into the apartment yelling, and also his coworkers. He had about four coworkers that lived on the same street.
Nice.
So everyone saw it.
And then he went to the doctor and said, I need to get checked out. Apparently I have some problems.
Well done. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Steven is on line 7 calling the Kevin and Bean Show. He had a girlfriend cheat on him. Steven, thanks for calling. What'd you do?
Hey, what's going on, man? Well, to get revenge, this guy was sneaking into her house, and I hit up the cops, said the guy was breaking in because I was sending posts outside. So that was beautiful, man. They walked in, and they tackled his ass in the back. And, I mean, they brought a helicopter like 20 minutes later, but a nice woke up the whole neighborhood.
All right, but wait a minute. So you knew that he was there, so you said that he had broken in. But why would they arrest him if, I mean, wouldn't she say, no, he didn't break in, this is a mistake?
No, she's kidding. Like, well, she usually opens the window. So I don't really know what ended up happening, but when I was just sending out posts, I was like, I was just waiting. Okay, I don't know what's going to happen.
I like that you're sitting out in front of her house, by the way, watching her with her new boyfriend. I like that.
In your truck.
I was setting up for something, man. I knew it was going to happen. So all right. Well, I'm going to do this.
All right. Did you videotape it?
No, I didn't. Well, I only got to take a picture of it.
Half-hearted at best.
All right, so try to get the new boyfriend that she cheated on you with arrested. That's the deal there.
Right.
Okay, let's try Marcus, line 2. Hey, Marcus, welcome to the show. What do you got?
Hi, Kevin Bean, this is May.
Hi.
Well, my girlfriend and I were working the same office. She had cheated on me first with another coworker, mm-hmm. So I took some time off, came back. I decided to sleep with the coworker and ended up sleeping with a personal assistant of our boss.
And okay, so wait. So your girlfriend, who was your fiance or not?
Yeah, she was my fiance.
She was your fiance. Cheated with somebody at your work?
She cheated with the mailroom guy, someone far below us, and then I took some time off. And
had she slept with someone above you, you would have been fine with it.
Yeah, personally, if she had slept for a promotion, I would have been a little more understanding.
Okay, yeah, because she brings home more money. All right.
So, but let me ask you this. If you guys are already broken up, how much of a burden was it on her that you then went and slept with another coworker? Did she even care at that point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she had been calling me left and right. I took some time off after I found out she cheated on me. Then she had called left and right. I came back, slept with the coworker. Personal assistant, what makes it more interesting is she's actually, we had a godson together, and she was the mother of our godson.
Hey, wow, the one that you slept with was the godmother?
I'm so confused.
Yes. Confusing. It's her best friend.
Nicely done.
What kind of business, Marcus, are you in where everybody sleeps with everybody at work?
It's funny. It's pretty boring. We are in the corporate offices of a high-end restaurant chain. So,
and they don't have any problems with that, with people cohabitating like that. Huh?
Well, they may have problems with it, but if it's a boring job and they have bathrooms,
well,
what are you going to do?
Well, I'm just saying, a lot of people, you know, they get fired or something if that stuff like this goes on. All right, very much. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's try Nikki. Nikki is on line 1 calling us on the Kevin and Bean Show with a very creative way to handle a cheating boyfriend. Hi, Nikki.
Hi. So my boyfriend cheated on me with my neighbor who was my BFF at the time.
Uh-huh.
Later, her stock and then returned.
We can't really say that. clearly, but
guys coming over and using the sock.
Okay,
so you can't see that.
No,
it's radio.
We wish we could. Trust us, but
I thought that
we can't. Just trust us on that.
So you made a video and did what with it, Nikki?
I had my guy friends come over and pleasure themselves.
Right, we got it.
We covered that.
And
then what happened to the song?
I thought you bleeped it out. Okay. Well, yeah, no, so I just put it on the internet, and now I'm just waiting for enough people to see it so that it gets back to her. I don't want to send it to her. I want her to find it.
This is recent.
You put it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's gotten like 5,000 hits.
And how do we search for that?
Just search the sock song.
The sock song.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, and okay. I'm Nikki Lynn Cat. It will come up.
All right. There you go.
So you're like helping.
We're helping. We're helping your revenge. Although, having talked to you, I think you did the right thing.
I do too. This is like a Sue Sylvester's Madonna Vogue video that gets up. You don't want to tell her about it. You want her to find out about it from other people. All right. Man, we got some good ones here.
Yeah.
Let's
do Travis. We got to do Travis because that's a pretty strong one. Travis, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? Lisa May.
Hi, Travis.
I'm Mike.
Your girlfriend cheated on you.
Yeah, she decided to cheat on me after a little bit of time, so I figured the best way of getting back with her is getting with her two best friends and her older sister.
You slept with her two best friends and with your girlfriend's older sister.
Yeah, the best part about it, too, is a month later when she wanted to get back with me, and I was like, well, I kind of got to tell you something. And I told her she flipped out.
Oh, so she didn't even find out at the time?
You told her.
No, she didn't know. She cheated on me because she was a virgin till marriage.
Right.
And I put up with that for about a year and a half. So I was like, all right, well, I'm
that's it.
I like how it. Easy her sister and friends
yeah.
are.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
like
a
he
surprise.
Just says, hey, I'm going to do this.
Hey, older sister, I'd like to. All right, fine.
That's amazing. I like how committed you are to the revenge, that you were willing to have sex with three women just yeah. to get back at her. Well done, Travis.
It was really tough.
Real commitment to excellence right there.
You do good.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm not a big baseball fan, but I know a lot of people are. I know I'm in the minority. And yeah. But I am a crazy fan. I do love crazy. And that's Manny Ramirez. So we figured we would talk to Manny today about how the Dodgers have been doing. Hi, Manny.
All right.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm Manny Ramirez, outfielder of Los Angeles Dodgers. I love L.A. I have a horn.
Yes, you do. Manny, the Dodgers have won nine straight now, if I'm reading this correctly.
Nope.
Well, that's what it says in the Times.
Okay.
You won nine straight and 11 out of 12.
Yep.
Okay.
I have a horn, I told you.
How's your hamstring? I know that was injured for...
Oh, I love ham. Sometimes I get honey baked, sometimes I get the extra salty. My doggy, Mr. Sniffle, he love ham too. When I make the ham, he come running. He sniffy. And then sometimes my parakeet, he says, Dr. Love, he goes and says, Mr. Manny Ramirez, can I have some ham? I said, no, you're a bird. You can't eat ham, you eat seeds. I have a barracuda.
What are you talking about? I was asking about your injury. Didn't you have an injured hamstring?
I want to buy a shark.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, pretty lady.
Yeah.
Do you have my rent?
What?
She doesn't rent from you.
I'm your landlord.
No, you're not, actually.
Okay. I'm Fred Flintstone. Hooray.
Manny, what do you smoke?
Huh?
What do you smoke?
Oh, banana peels.
Well, they work.
It's true. Sometimes I get so goofy and dizzy. I wake up in the morning, I say, what does Manny Ramirez want to do today?
Right.
Manny Ramirez want to hit home run. Manny Ramirez want to play Tomb Raider. Manny Ramirez want to smoke banana leaves. I do it all. Hooray. I have such a fulfilling life.
I'm so glad to hear that.
And here's some more sad news. The very last Ugly Betty show is going to be showing... this Wednesday. No more Ugly Betty after Wednesday. It'll be on Wednesday, 10 p.m. on Channel 7, ABC.
Okay. All right.
Last Ugly Betty show. Maybe it's not too late to get people to write into Channel 7, ABC, and protest.
I don't know why we would mount a campaign to keep Ugly Betty on the air, Rodney, but thank you for the suggestion. We appreciate it.
BJ Penn has a new book. It's called Why I Fight. The belt is just an accessory. We're waiting to talk to him in a second, but we were just talking about his training regimen off the air, and Bean was surprised to hear. Where is it, Mike, on YouTube? Can you see it on YouTube?
Yes.
BJ Penn can jump out of a swimming pool that is three to 4 feet deep. Standing on the floor of the pool, he can jump out of the water and then stand on the ground outside the pool without using his hands.
I've seen people do that. It's unbelievable.
I am going to say no.
It's not possible, right?
I'm going to call BS on that.
I know. That would be my response too if I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
You can jump out of a pool?
Yes.
No, he can.
He can. You can.
Yeah.
And I can't.
What does that tell me about him physically, Mike? What can he? What is he using in order to be able to do that? Just unbelievable strength in his calves or something?
It's a genetic gift. He is a freak athlete. That's why they call him the prodigy. If you watch any type of combat sport, boxing or MMA, you see the guys in the cage that look like bodybuilders. They're just ripped. And you say, well, that guy's clearly got an advantage over the other guy who looks kind of just average as far as his physique. It has nothing to do with it. Genetics plays a huge role. Some guys that look like complete weaklings are gorilla strong in jiu-jitsu. And BJ's one of those guys that just was born with incredible strength and agility in his lower legs, like you said, in his calves and his ankles. And his level of flexibility in his legs when you see him doing certain jiu-jitsu moves is astonishing. He is so composed with his body in ridiculously contorted positions. It's unbelievable.
All right, we have him on the phone, so let's get to BJ Penn, shall we?
I was born with a storm inside of me, and I learned to use it at 17 with jiu-jitsu. I earned a black belt after just 3 years of training. I am the first non-Brazilian to win the jiu-jitsu world championship. I am ready for the octagon. I beat Matt Hughes in UFC 46 with a rear naked choke. My ground and pound is at its fiercest against Kenny Florian. But it's my clinch that gets me into position to dominate.
Fighting out of Wanaku, Hilo Hawaii, the former UFC welterweight champion of the world, the prodigy, BJ
The book is... I'd like to have the name like...
I know, no kidding, right? Instead of the doofus. Yeah. The book is called Why I Fight. The belt is just an accessory. It is in stores and available everywhere today. You can meet Mr. Penn April 19th. That's Monday at 7 at the Borders in Torrance, California, if you're listening there. BJ, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Yes, I'll be on there Monday at Borders in Torrance, 7 p.m.
Tell us about the book, Why I Fight. The belt is just an accessory. Is that your life story?
Yeah, the book is my life story. I look into the misunderstood sport of mixed martial arts. And actually, I look into my life, how I got involved with mixed martial arts and the trials and tribulations of being involved with the sport. You know, there's a bunch of different organizations, bunch of different promoters. They don't all get along. And this is some of that story.
We were talking about your training regimen and how you can jump out of a pool, and that's not possible, first of all. and I've seen you do it. How deep was that water?
That was 3 feet with the lip, with the gutter. So yeah, I see a lot of people jumping out of 3 feet without the gutter, but that was with the gutter. But I'm definitely not the best jumper in the world. I got flexible legs. I can lift them real high.
You're a lot better jumper than I am. I would get like 2 inches high off the bottom of the pool. That's it.
BJ, let me ask you this. You were obviously given gifts. Your body is unbelievable, but you've managed to take that and train that and turn that into something and made a career out of it. People who buy your book and look for tips on how they can do anything close to what you're doing, how much of it is genetics and how much of it is just hard work and the knowledge of how to train?
I would say it's a little bit of genetics and a lot of hard work. You know, it's a lot of work, man, to be out there and to be one of the top MMA guys, and it's a lot. You got to have a strong mind. It's a lot of mental trials and tribulations you go through, and it never ends. You know, it just never stops. The sport just keeps evolving. And I'm just trying to keep up. I'm just trying to keep up with the young kids now.
I'll tell you what, and let's talk about this weekend's fight in Abu Dhabi, is that, and you got beat by Frankie Edgar, which was a shock to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I have a hard time reading you. I look at you and I can't tell, like, your emotions. You have a great poker face. It's impossible to tell. But the rap, like some of the announcing and during the fight, it seems like, and I don't mean this as an insult, it seems like you didn't care that much.
No, I cared a lot, you know. I guess, you know, the people who put the show together and who promote the show, maybe they wanted it to come off that way. I don't know. You never know. People have their own agendas of how they want to put the show
together.
Well,
that's part of it, but you also really do hide your emotions well. I mean, it's not like you showed much, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't show people that you were... It didn't even look like you congratulated the other fighter after the fight, and I was like, well...
You didn't look upset?
You didn't look upset enough, as upset as I... Of course, I would have fallen on the floor and started crying, but...
that's actually one of the reasons why I wrote the book, you know, to get people an insight who I am. You know, you got all these other websites and all these people, you know, telling people who I am, you know. You got these bloggers and these different people, you know, they think they know my story and they think they know who I am, and this is my chance to get my story out there and really to show people, you know. I guess I do. I put a poker face on the outside and I gotta let people in every once in a while.
What is the biggest misconception about BJ Penn that you hope to settle with this book?
I don't know about that. I hope to settle.
Or correct or whatever. Get your story out. What's the
There's biggest misconception, huh? No, I don't know if that people. Yeah, that maybe people say I don't train hard, or you know, I don't. They think I grew up different than I did. They think that I don't know what they think. They think I ride around in limousines and private airplanes. You know.
Well, the rap is that you're so naturally talented that sometimes you feel like you don't have to train enough. I mean, that's the rap. That's what people say.
You
is
know,
that?
I think it's everybody thinks said that my life was so easy, and it's just I work hard. It's just a regular life like everyone else. I got the same trials and tribulations that everyone else goes through, and I'm not riding around in limousines,
right?
And private airplanes. I wish I was.
Someday, right?
Someday we'll make it happen.
BJ, in either weight class in which you've been a champion, who's the greatest fighter you've ever fought?
I guess greatest, physical fighter, or who I feel is the greatest person that I've ever fought.
No. In terms of a challenge for you in the octagon.
You know, I guess it always changes. I mean, now you could say maybe it was Frankie Edgar. You know, I just lost a decision to him, and I've had so many great fights over the years with Lyoto, Matt Hughes, George St. Pierre. You know, but now I got somebody new on my mind. You know, and his name is Frankie Edgar, and
rematch.
You know, the UFC actually called us yesterday. They want to put the rematch together sometime in the next couple months, and you know that's what's in my head right now. And you know, it always changes. Life evolves, and I guess that's what keeps life fun and exciting.
Well, I guess what Kevin is trying to say is get mad, dude. We want to see you pissed off. When you get there for the rematch, we want to see you try to take his head off.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm very mad about what happened the other night.
All right, good.
I might not be yelling right now, but I am very, very mad.
I know that we're running out of time. I would like to get your thought. Did you see the Anderson Silva fight afterwards? And if so, what did you think about it? Because it really, really angered me.
I did not see the Anderson Silva fight. I know it's important for the guy to just go out there and win his fight. And on a catch 22, the fans pay our bills, so we got to please them. And at the end of the day, I can't say anything. I didn't see the fight.
I would watch you fight any day. I'll never pay for another Anderson Silva fight. That's how I feel about it, because he was a dick and he was mocking the other guy, but then he wouldn't fight.
Yeah, I think it might have been a little bit of the motivation, too. I know that he really wanted to fight Vitor Belfort, and I don't think he was that excited about fighting Damian Maia. But then again, you know, you guys pay our bills. You know, I'm not going to go out and harp on you guys.
So, Why I Fight is the name of the book. The belt is just an accessory. It's out today, and you can meet BJ Penn. Monday the 19th, so this coming Monday.
Okay.
You can
Monday the 19th, 7 p.m. at Borders and Torrance.
Borders and Torrance. You can get his autograph on the book, and you can ask him whatever questions you have. And, BJ, we respect you a lot, and we're happy to have you on the show.
I respect you guys, and thanks for having me.
Thank you, man. Bye now.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Oh, that's right. It is happy Cinco de Mayo to you, which is why we're having this big party today that everyone's invited to come on down to.
Well, we're not actually having a party. We kind of ruined things for ourselves at St. Patrick's Day, and we have some highlights of that coming up.
Highlights, quote unquote.
Few things that the boss didn't like a lot, mm-hmm. and immediately canceled Cinco de Mayo the day after.
Yeah.
Yes. The same day, actually. Yeah, we didn't hear about it until then. Anyway, we'll talk about that on the way on the Kevin and BJ Show, plus your chance to win tickets for Robin Hood. So I'm not pleased with this story out of Germany about the man marrying his cat, Kevin, but I understand you have some more details for me.
Well, there's a German dude, and he has a cat that had asthma.
Mm-hmm.
His cat's name is Cecilia. And apparently he was afraid the cat was going to die, so he wanted to make it official before the cat died, so he went ahead and had a marriage ceremony and married his cat. Now, anywhere else, any other country, not so bad. Germany, bad things for the cat.
You think?
Aww. I'm saying nothing good comes out of Germany. That's what I'm saying.
We asked producer Alex to line us up the young man who is fortunately back from his honeymoon. I believe his name is Uwe Mitscherlich, if I have that right. And Uwe joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, sir. Hello.
Oh, can you hear me? Hello.
Oh, there you
are. Yes, there you are. Hey, Uwe, what's going on?
It's Uwe.
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 Uwe. I apologize. My German Uwe, is not what it should
Uwe
be.
Uwe Mitscherlich.
Mitscherlich.
Uwe Mitscherlich.
That's what I said.
No.
Okay.
So the reports are true, sir. You have married your little cat, Cecilia?
I did marry Cecilia, yes, and I heard the jokes that you're making.
Well,
I think it is disrespectful. And,
I agree.
And also insensitive of you for making these jokes.
Well, Uwe, I was basing the joke, which is more of a fear, on your quote, which is Cecilia is such a trusting creature. We cuddle all the time, and she has always slept in my bed.
Yes, she has always slept in my bed.
Right.
Yes.
And then when you get married, certain things happen.
Yes, you exchange rings.
Right.
Uh-huh.
You make vows to each other.
Uh-huh. Right.
Then you have a large party with umpapa music and Hefeweizen.
Right, sure. And then that night.
And at night you go to your home after the party's over.
And then you get in bed.
Sure, because you're tired and it's late and it's been a big day.
Right. Yeah. Right. And then you say, hey, honey, I'm so happy to be your husband. Would you mind if we...
If we watch some television,
I don't think
before
that's,
we
not going
call it a night, I'm not fun.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you can't use the F word on the radio.
You're being so secretive, couldn't put it together.
I was
what you're asking.
I was trying to say it a little more delicately.
Of course,
No.
Oh, no.
But
no.
She's my wife.
Right, but
but she's an animal, though, and it must be illegal.
You have no idea. She is an animal in bed, that's for sure.
Is that right?
Yes. It must be illegal in your country as it is in ours to have sex with an animal.
In Germany, we don't pay so much attention to the laws.
That was my fear.
Big country for laws. We more, let's face it, we start world wars. We don't really care too much about laws.
Right, you go with the flow, basically. Live and let live is what you say.
Yes, she's my wife, and we are happy together.
This is highly inappropriate.
Is she allowed to turn you down? I mean, can she say no? I have a headache.
She can't. She's welcome to say that if she can. Yes, I haven't heard her ever say that.
Because she can't talk because she's a cat.
She's a cat, of course.
Right.
Which is good for me.
Right, because then there's no way.
Bad for her.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But she's not well either. She's asthmatic.
She's asthmatic, right?
Yes, and she is, we have to be careful with the lovemaking.
You don't want to overwork her.
I hope so.
That's right.
Yeah.
They don't want her to gasp and, choke on a hairball or something.
Right.
No. That'd be a terrible way to go.
We have to make a gentle, sweet love.
Oh,
okay. You shouldn't be making love at all to your cat. That is completely inappropriate.
Sure. Yes.
There's that.
But I would do anything to make her happy.
How about not having sex with her?
That's not on the list.
No, all right.
It's not on the list. Okay.
No, I'm very romantic. When the time for lovemaking comes, I put on her favorite music.
Which is?
Either Pussycat Dolls or Cat Stevens.
Right. Okay.
All right.
And then, I slowly pulled back the bed linens.
Oh, that can't be good.
And I read her, her favorite book.
Which is?
Cat in the Hat, of course.
Cat in the Hat, sure.
Okay, warms her up. Right?
Then we watch L.A. Ink sometimes. She loves Kat Von D.
Okay.
Oh, does she?
Right, good.
We're planning a trip to Kathmandu, actually.
No kidding.
If she can get her cataracts cleared up, she's got an eye problem.
Come on.
I drove her to the eye doctor in my Cadillac.
In your what?
Cadillac.
Not even Cadillac.
Come on.
In your Cadillac?
Try it, Uwe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say we traveled via catapult.
Okay. Listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Joe Rogan in minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz report coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. Halfway through my partner Kevin's vacation, and I can't believe we have him on the line. Usually he doesn't call in when we're doing a show, but I think we've got him ready to go on the air this right now. Kevin, are you there?
This is the home of Kevin and the Kevin and Bean Show. Who's this, please?
This is Bean.
Why are you calling the other one? Why are you calling?
Well, is that
a woman, too? You?
Yes, it's me. Hello.
It's Lisa Linus.
Why are you calling Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show and ruining Kevin and Kevin and Bean Show's vacation?
He's
a very busy man. He needs his rest and relaxation, and you're impinging upon that right now.
We understood halfway through his vacation, which is where we are exactly right now.
Halfway
this
through. Not finished with. Halfway through. And now you guys are calling Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show and impinging upon his vacation?
We just wanted to see what he was up to, see if he was having a good time. Tell him we miss him. We're looking forward to him coming back on Monday. That's
Kevin
all.
Kevin and Bean Show is up to not working with the other one and the woman. That's what he's up to. And he has every right to enjoy that time, and now you're impinging upon it.
No, we wanted him to enjoy it. We just
stop impinging.
We're not trying to impinge.
You are
we're not
pinging.
Trying to. We're not trying to ruin his vacation. We just wanted to say hello and see if he was having
no
a good...
time to say hello to you. Kevin Bincho is very busy right now. We've just got back from a long trip, and we're packing to leave again, so we're very, very busy right now. We just have no time to talk to the other one or the woman.
All right, Lytus, what have you guys been up to? Where did you go, and where are you going?
We just got back from Nepal, where Kevin enjoys hunting the indigenous people there.
Wait, the people?
Yes, we round up the indigenous people of Nepal. We put them in a pen. And then we release them, and then Kevin and Bean Show get the high-powered hunting rifle, and he gets an elephant, and he rides on the back of the elephant, and he hunts them down. And then
wow.
He puts them over his mantle, and that's what I'm doing now. I'm cleaning and mounting the Nepalese head.
Oh, no, you're not actually killing people and bringing them back as souvenirs, are you, Lytus?
Oh, we give their families silver ingots. What more do they need? They don't need more people. They need more money there.
Why do you have to go all the way to Nepal to kill people? Is it just off the radar? Is that why?
It's less problem with the authorities there. They don't mind so much.
That sounds like a hell of a vacation so far.
We grease
their
palm.
I understand.
As they say.
Wow.
But now we're packing up again. We're heading to India for a big monkey roundup.
Okay. Why would you go all the way from Nepal back to the United States so that you could then get the plane and head to India?
Because we have to repack. And who's ever taking a plane, by the way?
Well, what would you be taking?
Getting
we're going by dirigible. That's the only way Kevin at the Kevin Bincho travels anywhere anymore.
Are you serious?
Giant inflatable airship.
I did not know that.
It's filled with hydrogen.
It sounds like it would take an awfully long time to get to India in a dirigible.
Well, it's rocket powered. He's got several NASA rockets that he purchased at some sort of yard sale they had down in Cape Canaveral. And he straps into the back of the dirigible, and it gets us there in just mere moments. But he likes the hum of the motors and the size of the dirigible.
I see. It does seem like Kevin lives a far more exciting life than any of us are aware of, Lytus. You must keep a lot of stuff from us.
He just doesn't remember much of it.
Well, that's true.
What it is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What, you went to Nepal to hunt the natives. Why are you guys going to India?
For the monkey roundup. I told you, it's for the monkey roundup.
Okay,
India
what is
has
that?
The best monkeys. Everyone knows that.
Well, what are you doing? You're collecting monkeys? You're bringing monkeys back? What?
We round them up.
And
that's
then
do what with them?
We taunt them. We say, look at you. You're so close to us. You're so close to us when it comes to being a human being, and yet you're just off. You can't hold down a job or drive an automobile.
Why would you go all the way to India when you talk to taunt monkeys? You can just go to the zoo and see one in 10 minutes.
Because these we can taunt face-to-face with no bars between us. It's the thrill of the hunt. And we taunt them, and we get them all riled up, and then we leave. We go back in the dirigible, and we leave. We say, look at us. We're rich, and we have a dirigible, and you do not, monkeys of India. And then he pelts them with gold coins and M&Ms.
That sounds extremely satisfying.
Well, it is for the monkeys. They love M&Ms.
I bet. It sounds like a lot of fun. Well, you're cramming a whole lot into this vacation,
Lytus.
Yes,
we're trying to get going, but you're impinging.
All right, we don't mean to impinge. We'll let you get to your dirigible. Thank you for the update. We appreciate it.
Goodbye, the other one and the woman.
Goodbye.